Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Ah, greetings, oddling, for your ass clowns. This is the Movement Turd number 17, and you're going to hear it on the turd. And tonight's thing is even more, you know, as, let me see, what was it about? It was about starting out a reaction to old Cuntair Wallace, a.k.a. Fate the Butcher, a.k.a. the old Fate the Flake, whatever. And let me just say that I really, oh, where's your problem? I don't have wigger problem on there. What I need to do is that I got this digital tape recorder, and I need to go ahead and make an MP3 of it here so that people can go ahead and record that bumper music. Now today I was out mowing as much grass as I could, the leafy kind that you feed cows, not the type that the pisser likes smoking. And I was pretty well whacked up at around 9 o'clock, and I had to lay in the tub and nearly fell asleep. But anyway, I'm sort of limber, a little bit more limber now. I never expected to live to 52 and a half years, and due to 3.5 years I was locked up. And tomorrow, May 10th, will be the 5-year anniversary of me being locked up by the pigs. And the, there's one of them, Joshua DeFrates. He just slammed them handcuffs on, and for 15 minutes my hands were turning blue and sort of expanding. Pigs love torturing people. And they don't stop to think is that sooner or later the shoe's going to be on the other foot, and they're not near tough as they think they are. Anyway, I would have liked to go ahead and record Wigger Problem. I keep on saying I'm going to do it, but as it was, I got out of the tub, and my glasses were all steamed up, and I didn't even go ahead and put the thing. I just went ahead and cut and paste. Went ahead and cut and paste it first at Christian Nationalist, then at Stumble In, then at Beer Barrel, then at Odie's, and then lastly on Fade the Butcher's Oxtail Descent. And I wanted to mainly talk about Fade the Butcher because I do see a good deal to be admired in Fade the Butcher, but I also see a good thing that he has a good deal of problems with here. And, look, Fade, you're probably in Texas heading back, and for my gear, you end up having you went to Texas to go ahead and see for funding. Now, I think it's okay to go ahead and have a bunch of intellectuals, but when it comes down to it, intellectuals have never done anything other than just yap, 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 yap things to death, and they never really accomplish things. And the reason they don't accomplish things is because they're not able to accomplish things. They're sort of like the people, the ticks, the priests who go ahead and attach themselves to the kings and the warriors. Ayn Rand, the Kaikas, who wrote some real dreadful stuff here, and then she got pretty good, and then after that she became a professional author, and then she didn't amount to anything, and she had a whole bunch of Jews around her and a bunch of Wiggers, Libertoons. Now, Libertoon is a Shabbos Wigger who wants to become a Jew, and she ended up having these people all around her, but she wrote a fairly good article that I remember in the 60s about the interaction between the wannabe priests and the wannabe kings, between the men of talk and thought and the men of action. And I started myself out as somewhat intellectual, but as a result of nobody doing stuff when I was, running a militia, generally I became a man of action, a man of leadership, because nobody else had an idea what to do. Now, for years I did not wish to go ahead and be a pastor. And then I see all these people doing such a dreadful job that I thought, well, hey, I can at least do better. And in my time in the militia and the rest, nobody's gone to prison because of my stupidity in going ahead and getting people in trouble. The problem with Fade is that over the last couple of days, he went ahead and he opened up his forum last week, reopened it. Here he is telling me all about, he's pulled my dick about how, he's pulled everybody else's dick about how, there's a technical difficulty. No, there ain't, Fade. All you had to do was go ahead and switch from off onto on, because I know better. Anyway, my early political rise, I go ahead and look back at them, and I haven't changed very much at all. But, I mean, as a result of being jailed out, you know, jailed, and there are people, and Grundy over at Stumble Inn wrote a wonderful essay about William Pierce, said I was being a little bit tough on William Pierce. And the answer is I'm not being tough on William Pierce. Robert Franz put it best in that William Pierce was not really a revolutionary. He was a bookseller. He was a seller of trinkets. And what I used to associate with Louis Beam and Katja Lane, Katja, you know, she was married to David Lane, and essentially it wasn't really a sexual marriage. It was just simply a political marriage. In 2002, 2003, she was getting a lot of shit in Idaho. And she decided to go ahead and sell the David Lane stuff to Billy Roper. And she moved back to Secaucus, New Jersey, where she came from. Her father had been treated badly because he was one of these missing in action POWs, an Air Force pilot who got shot over Vietnam. And the Zog went ahead and betrayed them. So, Robert Franz, First Amendment Exercise Machine, FAEM, which is really the absolute drop-dead best webpage that was ever around in the white nationalist movement. And he ended up getting a bunch of writers, and I sort of hoped that if Mr. Franz had been alive, I would have been one of his writers. Occasionally, I'd go ahead and discuss things with him. Eric Thompson seemed to have gone senile because you can't tell him anything about Christian identity to where he goes ahead and hates it just like Wiggerswell. And that's what ended up happening the last couple of days is that Fade, when it goes ahead and he puts in the new thing and he has this character named Robert Campbell, and Covington essentially was on the blog, on old Fade's blog, but not using his real name. He was using one of the sock puppets. And this Robert Campbell goes ahead and tells Will Williams, I call him Wiggerswill, that Covington is on there. And then this Robert Campbell gives Covington a hard time. Well, he asks about for using sock puppets. And the answer is that Covington is not allowed because of this court order to go ahead and directly respond to Wiggerswill. But what I can't see is all these people going ahead, and here's Wiggerswill. He goes to a court, and from what I gather, he had something to do with it with Pierce. And essentially, they go ahead and shut down Covington from writing stuff. He gets a $100,000 judgment. And essentially, all it was just to drive Covington out of North Carolina. Now, I've seen this sort of thing before. When I was at Nut House, for example, I seen the son of a judge and the brother of a judge and lawyers from around Warrington. They went ahead and sent their brother and their son to the Nut House on trumped-up charges because they didn't want to go ahead and pay the expensive money necessary to keep them there. So essentially what he is, he's living on $3 a week. If that, he's shaped like a pear. I used to laugh at him because he was nuts as hell. But he's a nice guy. You know, nice Wigger guy. I used to run around naked, and I used to laugh because I said, well, old Paul, what's his name, has the shortest penis ever in a white guy. You could see it. I mean, well, you could, if you looked real hard, you could see it. I mean, shortest Wigger penis ever. You know, I used to laugh. I mean, he used to be pretty nutty. First time he showed up, he picks up an 80-pound chair that's stuffed and bulky, and he swings it around like it's a plastic garden chair. It gets this plastic window and goes, fling. He swings again, fling. And I'm looking at, you know, here I am, 6'2", you know, 218 pounds, because I'd just gone ahead and starved myself here, and I'd gone ahead and picked up some weight here, but I didn't want to go ahead and get all red tray, so I'm still doing it. I see this guy sort of shaped like a pear. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, how in the world is this guy able to go ahead and swing this bulky 80-pound chair, wooden chair, padded chair, like it's a plastic, you know, lawn chair? And the reason was super nut strength. He was nuts. But they go ahead and they put him on some trumped up charges and lock him up in the nut house because they don't want to spend the money. Now, supposedly it cost me $150,000 to be kept there. That's what they were billing me as. $150,000 while I was being, you know, the state of Missouri was supposedly paying more to keep me in there than my enemy, Matt Runtblunt, was getting as governor of the state. This is sort of laughable. But the federal government goes ahead and he kicks back $350 of it for the mentally ill. So that's how they run that nut house there. But I've seen people go ahead and use the court system for their own private personal use. And that's what Wagerswill did against Covington. So look, you know, look, here you go ahead, Robert Campbell, and you act like Covington has done something wrong by using sock puppets. And the answer is that he can't go ahead and answer any other way than by using sock puppets. So what are you doing, Wagerswill? While you're going ahead and using a Zog, court in order to go ahead and run your enemy out of North Carolina and out of Pierce's hair and the rest. So he goes to Texas, then goes ahead and discovers this Northwest Imperative. And I've had my difference with Harold Covington, but last March I decided it was time to make peace with Harold Covington because he does not pose any danger to Christian identity at all. Let's say you're 25 years old and you live in a crap hole like Florida or Arizona or New Mexico or Nevada, Beanerville. Why not move? You know, I mean, if you're 25, you don't have anything, you don't have any property, you might as well go ahead because, I mean, I don't believe that there's nothing the Bible says that there's going to be a Northwest Territory. But on the other hand, if you're going to go ahead and flee, you know, you're going to participate in white flight, you might as well go ahead and run to Washington, Oregon, Idaho. And I agree with Harold Covington in that, in many cases, look after yourself. But here's the thing, the butcher, and he goes ahead and he asks, like, why can't Covington go ahead and use his real name? You dumb shit. Robert Campbell went ahead, and, you know, Greg Johnson, the rest, why, they know the thing, and they don't give it. You know, there's no law against using a sock puppet. Because then he gets sort of hurt. And he goes ahead and he forms another Yahoo group. Well, look, you know, these Yahoo groups are secret. They become secret in order to go ahead and be, you know, refrain from being censored. So Yahoo groups are so 1990s. It's the V Bulletin Forum, which goes ahead and does things. It's the podcast. Harold Covington makes, I would say, the best podcast in the entire bowel movement. Okay? So, anyway, well, somebody said all places are shit. In many cases, they are. Now, on the other hand, if you want to go ahead and eat porridge, you know, eat wheat porridge, didn't mind living out there here while I moved to Cottonwood, South Dakota. Used to have a population of 1,260s, and then got down to 600, and a couple of years ago, last time I was up in South Dakota, I think it was 1993, and it was down to about a couple dozen. Well, hey, there's a sort of famous astronomy session here in Cottonwood because there's no light pollution. If you want to go ahead and have a safe place away from it all, Cottonwood, South Dakota is a pretty cheap place here. You could probably go ahead and buy a house for $1,000. Now, yeah. You better be sort of tough like the old pioneers, but you can probably buy a house for about $1,000 and live in Cottonwood, South Dakota, and eat steak and wheat berry porridge and, you know, beans, and you can live cheap there. There's nothing there. Anyway. Well, the thing about it is, the free staters is a libertine thing. Essentially, Wyoming. Wyoming is second only to South Dakota in case in the case to where they do not like Indians. South Dakota is pretty well the biggest Indian hating state in the entire world. But if you watch, my friend John Britton, he was flying when I was in the nut house. He was flying seismic up in North Dakota. And supposedly there is more oil there in North Dakota than there is in Saudi Arabia, but essentially the Rothschilds and the rest want to keep in the ground because American wiggers can't afford to go ahead and pay $7 a gallon. Plenty of oil. I said, okay, well, there are already oil wells there. Why aren't they going ahead and, you know, since there's not really ports, why aren't they going ahead and putting railroads? You know, doing just like they do in Wyoming. You drive across Interstate 80 in Wyoming, you see all these trains that are, about 5 miles long. A five-mile-long train, and they are all loaded up to the gills with low-sulfur coal. And there's a place called Sinclair, Wyoming. It looks like a green dinosaur. Well, that's where Sinclair, the green dinosaur, came from. And they have a big old giant, you know, truck plaza where they go ahead and sell the diesel. A little bit, you know, quite a bit cheaper to truck drivers going through there. So I'm saying, why in the world aren't they putting the pipeline? Why aren't they doing this? And the answer is, they're not. But they are going ahead and exploring it. And they know it's there, but they do not wish to develop it. See, we live in a country where, essentially, these people want a third world economy. Now, they're not going to want it when it becomes like Greece and they go ahead and hang these banksters. Past week, I went ahead and seen that supposedly three people died because they went in the bank and they set that bank on fire. And the person who said, you know, from my there, he died, but so did two or three banksters in there. And they're pissed off at these banksters. So now they're talking about putting $500 billion to bail out Greece. But the problem of it is not just Greece. Greece, why? It was a poor country. Now, I've been to Crete, and well, I've been to Greece as well. I took a Euro pass. And the people you see on the statues from Greece's golden age, around 400 B.C., before they lost the Peloponnesian War, they were white, blonde, beautiful people. Ancient Athens was probably the most beautiful civilization ever was. They were quite clever people. They figure out that the average Athenian had an IQ of 120, which is sort of like how your average Whigger, which is about 5 points more than your average Whigger, is smarter than your average American nigger. But they end up losing Greece. In many cases, Greece, Athens, lived off of theft because they went ahead and stole this money for the Delian League that was supposed to be used for ships, and Pericles went ahead and used it to make the Parthenon, make all these statues. So it's formed on theft in many cases. Well, same thing. Now it's populated. Well, Frank Wigger says he's right. You go in there, there's a bunch of freaking brown people there. And a lot of them were Turks. The Turks came in, and the Greeks and the Turks don't like each other. But hey, you're a Turkish warrior, and you see some, you know, pretty good looking Greek pussy. You're gonna go ahead and get to rape it. But as a result, in Crete and in Greece, the people there are brown. Now, if you go to Eastern Europe, they're sort of like Draco. I used to fight with them. Used to call him, you know, Doctor. He used to call him Draco. I used to call him Doctor Anus Jew Boy or Drainus Jew Boy. And you go ahead and you see these Macedonians, and they have, you know, a bit of blonde in them, but essentially they're just brown eyed. They're just mainly brown eyed, bottle blonde mamsers here. Of course, I see more. You know, nowadays all these blondes that you see on there are just obviously bottle blonde because they're not blue eyed anymore. I don't see very many blue eyed women anymore. I used to, you know, quite a bit when I was a kid, but now it's just become a bunch of mamserization. Well, same way with Greece. It became a mamserized country. So some of the younger ones, I see them at Silver Dollar City, and they're singing their little things. And some of the younger ones, they still have little blonde hair, you know, highlights. I don't think they're blonde, you know, dying it. They have brown eyes, and they have brown skin. And that's the way things are. Anyway, I don't know how I got to that. Let me go ahead and get back to Covington. Anyway, here's old Fade the Butcher, and he's talking about going ahead and building a great political organization. How he wants to figure out how Pierce did it. Well, Pierce didn't know it. Katcha Wayne used to go ahead, and every so often she'd get pissed off because she hated Trader Glenn Miller. She hated him a lot. Here, Bob Matthews and the Order goes ahead and gives Trader Glenn Miller $250,000 that Trader Glenn Miller admits to. He goes ahead and blows it like he is on this tabloid from drinking and running around and getting all these swiggers in uniform and then betraying them. I mean, Trader Glenn Miller is a drunken Anglo mestizo. And so, from what I gather, is Wiggerswell. By the way, I've gone ahead and looked at Trader Glenn Miller. He's not only going ahead demanding money from the tarred VNNF here. He's telling them that, hey, they ought to go out and pick up some cans. I guess beer cans, Trader Glenn Miller, please, you know, by the side of the road or something here. He drives and he drinks here. Trader Glenn. But anyway, he goes ahead and demands that, and then somebody, he goes ahead and says, my bodyguards. What do you need bodyguards in order to go ahead and go to your post office box? He says he has his bodyguards out there. Well, old Cunter, or Fade, goes ahead. He talks about about 20 minutes. My name got mentioned a few times. He talks about fighting at this Aurora Walmart. Well, Wiggerswell, he lived there, and I didn't go to see him on April 3rd of 2004. Let me see, when was it? April. They're taking the ninth. No, I didn't go see him on April 3rd. It was a Saturday. I went and took my grandchildren. Well, actually, we went to Chuck E. Cheese, and we went ahead and had fun. I didn't even bother. And here comes Sir Glenn pixing and moaning. Well, I showed up with 12 of my friends. Well, Trader Glenn, I mean, was I supposed to go ahead and not only whip your old drunken Mamzer Anglo mestizo ass, but I was supposed to go ahead and beat up all your freaking parole officers and federal witness protection people? I don't know. Trader Glenn Miller is saying that he has bodyguards because he's scared of Phineas Priest or Felonious Mamzers or whatever. Or he does end up having bodyguards. But I've had Sertorius over at Odie's say, well, what do you think of his ads? And so I listened to him. But Trader Glenn Miller did no more write those ads than he wrote his ghostwritten book. If you go ahead and read Trader Glenn Miller, what he goes ahead and writes on a VNNF here, and you go ahead and read his book, his ghostwritten book, two different things here. And I'm convinced that he was a spy way back from Army days. He certainly was a spy when he was running around. That's the same thing. The movement, and just like Jews, they always want to go ahead and make sure that they control the movement. It's sort of like Red Mike Vanderbilt or Red Mike Vanderkuyt. He's an SPLC, ADL, militia general. I went ahead and talked to this guy, and he sort of seen through Red Mike, and the Oath Keepers decided they didn't want anything to do with Red Mike, so Red Mike, was pissing and moaning and whining, and a couple of days ago, he was back and going ahead and called me a convicted child molester. Look, Red Mike, wasn't convicted of anything. Well, I've been convicted of driving without a seatbelt. That cost him about $1,500 in order to collect a $10 fine. I've been convicted of, quote, trespassing when I was kicked out by the Missouri Libertines, and I spent 30 days in jail for contempt of court because I refused to pay a bogus ticket on a burnt-out headlight. So I've been a convicted misdemeanant, but I've never been a convicted child molester. But tomorrow will be the 5th anniversary of my imprisonment for 3.5 years. And I'm looking at this stuff. I'm looking over 4 fags, and they're talking about, well, we need to go ahead and give these pigs a trial. Look, pigs, the most humane thing to do is me just go ahead, you know, your victims just go ahead and shoot you and your family out of hand. You don't want a trial. Pigs have the notion that they've gone ahead and disposed of the evidence, and we're going to go ahead and give them a hard, we're going to go ahead and bother to give them a, quote, fair trial after they've disposed of the evidence? No, pig, I'll tell you what your trial will be. 4 days of torture and skinning, 15 minutes of administrative summary justice, and then finishing you off. By this time, you will want to be finished off. It'd be far more humane just to simply shoot you out of hand as a police officer, as a judge, as a lawyer. Now, for those people who go ahead and change, I've seen pigs, you know, sort of like Felix Dzerzhinsky. I have seen how pigs act. I've seen how these thugs act. You know, essentially, it never dawns on their little brains that they won't be in power forever. But when they are, what does draw on their minds when they see people like me, you know, they get pretty scared pretty quick. My foolish brother's widow went ahead and called this nigger bitch, Alicia Thompson, who was doping me up 17 times. If she had a little anxiety attack or something like that, I'm thinking, what the hell? You know, this is Michelle Livingston. This is Michelle Livingston. Michelle Livingston. What happens is that my case manager was worrying, well, hey, you know, did you have anything to do with that? I said, what are you talking about? And he went and explained, I said, no, I didn't have anything to do with it. But then again, he probably thought I did. In any case, Joe Cortina, I guess I haven't here. Maybe I need to. I don't know. The thing about it is maybe I do need to see Joe Cortina. I mean, he sounds like a beaner. In any case, I'll go ahead and look at this here. But in any case, I don't know. See, I almost never have a prepared transcript. I'm sort of like Gene Scott, who Pilgrim likes quite a bit. And somebody was saying that I ought to go ahead, Cole was thinking that I ought to go ahead and fight with Fink. And the answer is I'm not going to fight with Fink at all. So I'd bring this thing up. The reason of it is, and you know, Fink doesn't altogether agree with this, but my friend John Britton does, is that throughout the United States there are different regional flavors of the Christian Identity Church. And someone was telling the Pockleys when he was trying to go ahead and get them on to over on Pisser Cinder over to the Beer Barrel that oh no, there's hundreds of above ground DSCI churches. I'm thinking, you lying idiot. It's Solomon who said that. I think he's either a Pisser sock puppet or a real good friend of one of Pisser's parishioners. The thing about Visser is that essentially he was just a thief. And he got caught quite a few times. What pretty well finish off Visser is his allegiance to this Brian Reitmanzer. And I don't know. They both came out of California, Arizona, or something like that. It would not surprise me if Visser and Brian Wright were cellmates or in the same pod or whatever together. It would not surprise me in the least at all. But, I mean, you know, here's Visser. My name was Son Phineas. Well, he's a Phineas priest. And same way with Brian Wright. I said, you're not a Phineas priest. You're a Felonious Mamzer. Okay, but I'm going to go ahead and one about, well, no, I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, he has a problem with this Patricia. Well, I don't see why. I mean, there are all sorts of crazy heifers running around, and some of them are Christian Identity or claim to be. And the thing about Fink is that Fink essentially does what he does. I mean, he'll go ahead and consult with me. He don't need to at all. Neither do I need to go ahead and consult with Fink. So he does his thing, and I do my thing. Now, as far as being above ground, you know, preachers, there's Eli James. And I would say him and Fink are one of the few people who are Easterners. Now, the Westerners, who like Bertrand Comparet, have a little bit of problem with Fink and a little bit with Atomizer because they're changing things from the Comparetian six-day beast of the field, eighth-day Adamic man, to where Satan went ahead and brought these niggers from the planet Dogon or wherever in spaceships, and Satan created these niggers, not Yahweh. Now, I've been sort of thinking in that back in the 60s, Comparet was used to a segregated society, even though he was a San Diego lawyer, something like that. So, the people of the western region of dual seed line Christianity, they like Comparet, and they don't see any reason for going ahead and changing things. Just because William Fink may want to go ahead and see the difference here. William Fink might be right. Clifton M. Heiser might very well be right. But what happens is there's been 40 years of the Comparetian outlook, and the Western, you know, the Westerners and much of the Southerners do not wish to go ahead and change dual seed line Christian identity. I really don't wish to go ahead and change it either because I'm comfortable with the way things are now, dogmatically. Well, that was William Fink. Yeah, Clifton M. Heiser might very well be right. But for now, just like when you talk about Khazars, you don't go ahead and say they were actually Hittites. You say that they were a bunch of Turkic Mongolians, you know, and go through the one seed line notion here. Once you go ahead and get them weaned, then you tell them who the Khazars were. Well, for now, it is easier to tell a newbie that all these niggers and all these gooks, why, yes, they're sort of men, but they were created on the sixth day, and they don't have any souls, and they're the beasts of the field. And on the seventh day, Yahweh rested, and on the eighth day, he created Adam, the first white man. And it's easier to go ahead and do that and then go ahead and straighten it up than it is to go ahead and lay something all together from out of the blue about flying saucers and the planet Dogon. I mean, old Sci-Fi Faber, he did not much care for me to call him Sci-Fi. Well, that's probably where the Sci-Fi came from. He was, you know, I mean, oldest Bob, I used to call him the Papist hibernator, but he was actually a Guido, kinky-haired Guido, called him Sci-Fi, and the Sci-Fi just went nutsoid over it, and is going to go ahead and do this stuff. So as a result, I don't like changing things around, and there is a regional flavor. Now, the western portion is pretty well centered around Idaho. It came out of California. I live right on the biggest collection of Christian Identity people, but most of them are one seed liners. And they have a whole bunch of heresies, sacred name, and all this sort of thing. And, no, I mean, there are probably more people who are Christian Identity after a fashion in Newton County than there probably is in all of upstate New York. So, I mean, I know for a fact, old Dave from New York, he didn't even like Christian Identity. But that was another fight from Aryan Front. So what happens is that as a result of Butler making a mistake 40 years ago, of going ahead and bringing in all these criminals and skinheads and bikers and all sort of vermin for every single one that they brought in. 19 family men left. And as a result, what is left is that you had August Christ and you had Rick Spring, and Draco was asking about where does Billy Roper come in? Well, he was siding with Rick Spring. Rick Spring was a criminal who got out. His wife was taking care of Butler, and they were taking care of themselves, and they were looking at all these $25 applications to join the Aryan Nations and $10 a week. And they, I don't know if they stole the money, but they certainly went ahead and stole the membership applications. They sold them to the One People's Project and the SPLC. So they knew who was running this thing. Okay? So, in any case, that's where that's, you know, and here's Kat Ulaine, and she goes ahead, and she moves to Secaucus. So Billy Roper gets the, okay, there's truth, not flavors. The thing about it is that Camporé was mainly for the Westerners, but the Southerners liked them too. And with William Fink and the rest, they're mainly Easterners. And I live pretty well on the edge. On the edge. I mean, if there's any real dead Christian identity center, it'd be Harrison, Arkansas. And Kingdom Identity Ministry and Tom Robb and the rest of them. And Tom Robb isn't a dual seed liner. But, Harrison, Arkansas, and then it goes ahead. Wherever there's really mountains, he'll be like their Christian identity. And their family men. This was pretty well dead Tory center for Herbert Armstrong's church. I mean, it was the last one to go ahead and remain loyal to Herbert Armstrong, even after he went ahead and gave to these Jews named Tkach. They pretty well stuck with it longer than anybody in the United States. This bunch around southwest Missouri, Springfield and Joplin. It was always a Tory place here. And these people do not wish to go ahead and change because they're, you know, far more conservative. And the Westerners, Camporé was one of them. So the thing about it is, though, is that, you know, Fink and Analyzer might very well be correct in what they say. Might very well be. But for now, I mean, to go ahead and bring the newbies in, I prefer the Camporé version to any new version, because at least the Camporé version was, you know, at least for close to 50 years, the, you know, I mean, if you went ahead and looked at the AIT course, you read your Camporé, you had 85% of dual seed line Christian identity. Went then and there, wrapped up. So I am not really in a mood to go ahead and change, and certainly I probably wouldn't go ahead and get very far if I did try to go ahead and change. So anyway, this call means he's sort of complaining, oh, this patrician needs to be, you know, back a peg or two. I'm thinking, why? There's 300 million some zoglings. About there, half of them have a twat. And there's a bunch of, you know, white, you know, women. And why in the world do you need to worry about what one or two of them are doing? Who cares? I mean, if she's not your woman, it's really not your concern. So I don't worry about what women, you know, I don't know, and that I'm not responsible for. I really don't much care what they're doing. But, and second of all, another good reason I have no intention of fighting with William Fink is that that would certainly make these people, as you said, they're really happy. What happens now, they're bitching about William Fink because him and I aren't fighting. So, I mean, I'll go ahead and give them the fantods. So, no, I mean, there's no sense. You don't end up fighting with the genuine people. I mean, be it David Lane or William Pierce or something like that, usually the people who are at the top are invariably polite to outsiders. It's their little bitty wannabe flunkies that have to go ahead and show their badass, like Wiggerswell. Anyway, Wiggerswell, I go ahead and get on, and I just pretty well tell us that, look, you know, Pierce was not a great leader. Catchalan used to get annoyed about phone book furors who got $400,000. Well, that's pretty well what the figure is, or was, among the movement. And I'm sure, the thing about this is, you know, I mean, yeah, I call them hybrid niggers, but yeah, I have said there is a right, so I'm looking at this. Calipari doesn't support your views on the Irish. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. You probably are, you're probably correct on that. Of course, Wiggerswell, I was looking at this sort of thing, and Trader Glenn Miller was talking about suing me. Wiggerswell's going to tell me how to do it. The problem of this is that I am suing Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller is mentioned in my lawsuit. I am suing him for deliberately ruining it so that an open white man like me cannot run for political office. I kicked off by liberty. Like, I was not allowed on May 30th when I signed up to sign. I will go ahead and I told a friend of mine he couldn't believe this. I said, believe it. Now, I should be working on my lawsuit right now. I should have had it done last week. And I'm not going to get it done tomorrow. I'm not going to go to Springfield. But I might go Tuesday or Wednesday. Say, look, Judge, you need to overturn these two rules. One rule, 115.355, essentially says that you can't go ahead and throw people in jail and keep them from running for political office. I want you to go ahead and overturn that so that if any person who is eligible, even if he's convicted or not, I mean, if he's convicted for some offices, he can't run. But if he, you know, but for a federal office, my criminal record is no impediment to running for federal office. You're gonna be John Gotti. You're gonna be John Gotti and run for United States Senator. This guy named Bill Johnson. He had an assault felony here. He's running for governor in Alabama. But if you don't believe me, you got a nigger in the United States citizen. He became president of the United States here. So don't give me this crap that if you got a criminal record, you can't run for federal government. Now, I don't have any federal misdemeanors, and I don't have any felonies at all, so I can run for United States Senator. So, but I asked this judge to go ahead and overturn this rule. Say, hey, look, you can't go ahead and pull the same crap that you do in Russia and Iran and China and Zimbabwe of arresting people so they can't run for political office. I want you to overturn this rule, the statute, so that people, if they are otherwise eligible to run for political office, they either can go ahead and run in absentia, or the sheriff or whoever has to take them in chains to the place to file for office and let them file. But the second one, thanks to Trader Glenn Miller, I can't run for United States Senator as an overt white man. I can't run. I can't run as a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. And maybe I could run as a Constitution Party, but I can't run. I got kicked off as a Republican or a Libertarian. And I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, look, you either ban the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and the Libertarian Party, or you go ahead and make it open to anybody regardless of race, religion, or political belief. Now, ain't that hell of a deal when an Aryan Nations clergyman has to go ahead and say, hey, look, you can't go ahead and discriminate on the basis of race, religion, or political creed? But then again, this country is based upon lies. The Constitution is based upon lies. Nothing but lies. And here's Trader Glenn Miller talking about all this crap here. I was just thinking while I was taking, a bath here. One of the good days of my life was in March of 2008 when I heard that Trader Glenn Miller's last male non-faggot kid. He still has faggot Glenn Miller. He still has Rabanger left here, and these two Wigger daughters that Breckenridge Elkins is trying to keep out from screwing up the Ron Paul people. But what happens is his last non-faggot male child here in Marionville went ahead, not only shot at a pig, nobody might miss the pig, but he shot dead a good 55-year-old good Samaritan who was running a tattoo office who tried to help Trader Glenn Miller's, son. He went ahead and plugged this good Samaritan who was trying to help him. Now, how many people do you think are going to go ahead, at least in this area, and support somebody who went ahead and murdered somebody who was trying to help this piece of shit who went ahead and murdered him as a result? He wasn't a pig. He murdered a good Samaritan. Killed him dead, 55-year-old working man. Now, how was that? If you went ahead and did that, you raised a drunken coward like you, Anglo Mestizo coward, who goes ahead and kills good Samaritans. Well, Trey Glenn, I never thought you were much of a father. You know what I mean? I mean, essentially, like I say, Rabanger going ahead and shooting off the reservoir tip of a condom here and asserting here and then creating a green card to come to America as a Filipino girl. Oh, by the way, Covington's Brigade has a Rabanger. Oh, Covington couldn't go ahead and resist that. If you go ahead and read his book, The Brigade, and you can read it for free. And Covington's a lot better fiction writer than William Pierce, but William Pierce's Turner Diaries appeal to a different class of people, mainly people who did not read fiction, who took this as genuine political revolutionary activity. And, his novel Hunter is a lot better, as far as literature is concerned, it's a lot better than the Turner Diaries. But the Turner Diaries had a lot more effect. And don't get me wrong, William Pierce was a very smart, intelligent man here. And here's Wiggerswill. Going ahead and use them. Of all the people, and I need to go ahead and bring this up here, is that you have to create a mandamus. Well, the thing about it is, Hack understood the legal system, but Hack knew that he was fucked. And what happens is that, for my guy, he didn't much care for, this was, Okay, the writ of mandamus, what happens is that my federal lawsuit, which was filed in 2008, named Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller is the defendant. Now, I'm not asking for any money from Trader Glenn Miller. I'm asking for Trader Glenn Miller to testify and tell the truth. And none of these people have responded, except for the local Newton County people. They're pretending they haven't been served. Well, I'm going to go ahead and present a bill for service. I went ahead and called the Cole County Sheriff's Department. They charged $30 a piece, even if it's the same one. So seven, from State of Missouri, Matt Blunt, Jay Nixon, Missouri Department of Mental Health, Fulton State Hospital, the Missouri Supreme Court, Jay Nixon. That's seven of them here. That's 30 times seven is $270. And then they charge mileage. It's 250 miles up there. So I could probably go ahead and charge them enough to go ahead and get the money back from what I've gone ahead and put into a lawsuit here. It costs $350 to file a federal lawsuit. And what gets me is that probably Covington could go ahead and use the Zog Law to go ahead and overturn Wiggerswill's bullshit. But here's Save the Butcher, and here he is signing with this Robert Campbell. And Covington thinks that Robert Campbell is a Zogbot, I have to spot him here. He calls himself Robert Kendall. He calls himself Torres Wee-Weesburg, or I call him Torres Wee-Weesburg. Essentially, what happens is that I am relegated to the Gulag over on Fade's thing here. Now, I went ahead and posted my Frankenwigger in the Ester Caucus because Rob Freeman, i.e. Kievsky, and I don't know if Rob Freeman is a Jew or not. He goes ahead and says he doesn't like, you know, Christianity at all. But then again, he's sort of been kind and polite to me a couple of times. And so I'm not going to go ahead and give Kievsky or Rob Freeman. But then again, every time I see a word, you know, comes with man, every single freaking Jew likes to say he's a man when he's actually a Jew mamzer. So I don't know. But in the case of Wiggerswill, I'm pretty sure he's just another Anglo mestizo who hates Christianity and understands that there's no hope for him with Christianity. But he has a notion that he's going to go ahead and tell Christianity what to do, get his way. Here's old Fade. Pierce was a great leader. No, Pierce got $400,000 from the order, and what he did is he ran a book club. He sold books. That's what Robert Franz said he was. He wasn't a revolutionary. He was a bookseller. He was a trinket seller. Very good one. But he went ahead and advertised National Alliance. Why, that's the National Vanguard. That's the vanguard of revolution. Political soldiers. And the answer is that, you know, Kevin Alfred Strom and Wiggerswill and Eric Liebe, they are not quality people. They are not. If they were, then if you had gone ahead and given your, you know, organization to them, it'd still be around. But people were saying, even before, you know, friends and everybody was saying before Pierce died, even before Pierce died, that when Pierce died, 6 months, there wouldn't be nothing left. And that's pretty well exactly what happened. Pierce's own biographer, of a great man's deeds. I went ahead and read it for free off PDF. I went ahead and printed the whole thing. And essentially, Pierce's biographer said that Bob Matthews talked to him, gave him a bag full of Franklins. I'm not talking about Stowe's. Gave him a bag full of Franklins. And the next day, he went down and paid off in full cash money the $90,000 that he bought that, you know, he bought his retreat in Hillsboro, West Virginia for. And the thing about it is that if Catcher Lane and everybody else knew about it, the movement knew about it, because the Bob movement cannot keep secrets. The FBI knew about it. But all the people, you know, and this is why I was going to go ahead and start out, is that essentially William Pierce ran Elohim City for creatards, is what he did. I got an invitation from the Reverend Dr. Bob Millar. I had his card. He liked being called the Reverend Dr. Robert Millar. And for all the talk about monkey people, Bob, he looked a lot like a monkey. I don't, you know, he didn't look white. And a lot of people said that. And everybody knew that he was, right, you know, if you went to Elohim City, there'd be a federal FBI agent that'd know you were there. He gave me an invitation to visit. But I went ahead and, you know, mentioned to, you know, Catcher Lane and Louis Beam. They said, well, why do you want to go down there? And I said, there is no reason for me to go down there other than idle curiosity. And they said, well, I wouldn't go down there because you go down there, they'll know about it. I mean, they're keeping this place watched here. This was after, you know, this was 1996, a year after the Oklahoma City thing here. He went ahead and invited me. Well, fine. But there was no reason. I mean, essentially what it boiled down to is, well, hey, let's go ahead and see somebody who's in Christian identity and keep, you know. You just go ahead and bring in another head of hoof, head on the hoof. Well, hey, there was no reason for me to go down there, and I never did take advantage of the invite. I might very well have that card, that business card there. And I have to laugh is that old Dr. Reverend Bob, he came in a 1967 Eldorado Cadillac, green. Biggest one they ever made. Huge. He was with five old women, and none of them was his wife. So I guess old Dr. Bob doing a thing here. You know, that was good for him. You know what I mean? So, anyway, Dr. Bob.
I don't know if this chat screwed up or not here. Let me just go ahead and see if I'm still on it here. Heck.
Well, I'm probably about to lose chat anyway. Anyway. Well, that, you know, the chat thing here. I went ahead and did a bunch of JJJ KKKs or something like that here. See. Yeah, I'm probably going to go ahead and be kicked off here. Anyway, Dr. Bob and Rodney here. There's no sense in me going down there here. Well, same way with, to pierce this thing. In 2001, there was this one guy, he sort of betrayed me while I was in the house, and I helped him out, Doc Keller. Went down there to Nashville and caused trouble for the Buchanan people. I mean, I was known as pretty well a hatchet man, would go ahead and cause trouble, and yeah, I caused some trouble for the Buchanan people. Got on the front page when his running primate accidentally tried to enter my room. Yeah, I showed up in nothing but very skimpy bikini, underwear. She went ahead and admitted it and made the front page of the Nashville, Tennessean. I think it was the July 21st, 2001 edition. I have it on my webpage. And I ended up making them look like a bunch of retards. They just sort of glared at me. But I had been, told that Elohim City had ties to about everybody. Well, same way with William Pierce. The FBI probably knew that he got $400,000, and guess what? It's against the law to see stolen money. And there were people. Covington's among them, and that's why old Wiggerswill doesn't like Covington, and Norm Pierce didn't want him. He said, hey, why are you not being going ahead and rounded up? I mean, Don Gaiman had to go ahead. Don Gaiman, 70 miles north of me. Vernon County. He'd kiss a lot of ass. He'd go ahead and knock out people at the Fort Smith Sedition trial. And as a result, he's not loved among Christian Dandy people around here, because he went ahead and knocked out people. He got $12,000 or $25,000. I'll give it back. Look, Dan, what you should have said. You said you're not taking the money. If you took the money, said that I prayed to Yahweh, and the next day, there it was, in a bag, a whole bunch of Franklins. 20s, no 20s and Franklins, a suitcase full of money. But I didn't question it. I didn't ask where it came from. I said, Yahweh has provided. That's what you should have said, Don. You know what I mean? But no, Don had to go, Don Gaiman had to go ahead and knock out and act like a pussy. Well, okay. Pierce didn't do that here. And there's a lot of people thought that, essentially, that Pierce's compound was essentially Elohim City East for creatards. And that's what a lot of people thought. Catcher Lane. Now, Catcher didn't go ahead and make a big deal near the Lewis Beam about it. Well, hey, I guess it's okay for him to get $400,000. Yeah, Pierce is doing some good deeds here. But no, in many cases, he was going ahead and probably informing. Not as grossly as Trader Glenn Miller. But no, $400,000 buys you access here. In these days when Zog is scared shitless, they know some bad stuff is coming here, but what they're scared is that leadership they don't know anything about. A Robespierre, a Lenin, a Stalin, a Dzerzhinsky is going to go ahead. Somebody they don't see coming And he's going to go ahead and exterminate every single last one of them. That's what Zog is scared of. $400,000? Cheap. Cheap. Just like what they seen, you know, with this here little truck bomber or something like that here. Oh, they're spying and sneaking and looking and the rest of this shit, and they're pissing and moaning, you know, 60 Minutes, they're pissing and moaning about the Pakistani Taliban. Okay. If you have $25 million on Osama bin Laden's head here, $400,000 to see, well, they knew Timothy Vey was coming. But going ahead and spending $100,000, $400,000, chump change. Chump change. You go ahead and make them do whatever they want. Here's old Fade the Butcher talking like William Pierce knew how to go ahead and run an election here. No, he don't. Pierce didn't know how to run an election. Besides, what good does it do to go ahead and run an election? Because thanks to Trader Glenn Miller, who's buddies with Wiggerswill, an overt white man can't run for political office. There's 12 people there here. On the Republican ticket, all against Mill Skunk Blunt, alleged spotter of Run Blunt. And they got a Beaner on there. Beaner gets to run. But me, I don't get to run. Of course, my check said Pastor Martin L. Lee Linstead, Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri, so essentially I certainly wasn't hiding my racist line underneath the bushel basket. But if an overt white man cannot run, then, Cuntair, what damn difference does it make if you go in and form a political party organization? None. Now, what I'm going to go ahead and point out to this Jew judge is that the white man is not allowed to run for political office, and guess what? The white man does not have any representation. So why should the white man pay federal taxes if he can't go ahead and run for federal political office? In short, your political system has no legitimacy, none whatsoever. If you go ahead and read William Lynn and the rest, you find out that it's legitimacy that matters, because the people will go from a corrupt, far-off government in the District of Corruption or in Kabul or in Baghdad, and essentially they will want to go ahead and keep their money and their efforts in their own backyard and look after themselves rather than some person of a different tribe or a different race or of a different look than themselves and keep their own money and feed their own children before they send it off 100 miles or 10 miles or anywhere. And that's what's happened with all these regimes. They don't have any legitimacy. And since they don't have any legitimacy, they don't have anything in common, what keeps them together? Answer, nothing but violence or the threat of violence. Every regime lives off of violence or the threat of violence. So, here's old Fade. Okay, I've lost my connection here. I'm going to go ahead and get back on. Well, I'm at, I'm back in on the call. Hey, let's see. Come on, you stupid thing. Let's see if I'm back on there. Okay. Anyway. So here's old Fade, and he goes to Austin, Texas. He makes a big thing, and he's talking about his radio free whatever here. I'm going to go ahead and go over here and see if I can't play some of what old Cutter Wallace went ahead and did.
It is Thursday, May 6th, 2010. As usual, we're here in Charlottesville. I'm joined by my co-host, Pip Pockets.
Pip Pockets. I'm going to call him, he calls himself William Rome. But I'm going to end up calling him, Cutter's Piglet here.
That's all the victory digging our own grave. I mean, either title could be appropriate.
Bashing defeat from the jaws of victory. So we're going to have victory by going ahead and following Wintersquill and Trader Glenn Miller. I don't see how that's possible. If you end up having being led by traitors who are in the pay of Zog, how are you going to end up having victory? Aren't they going to go ahead and betray you? Well, I don't know about old Fade. See, what happens with Fade most of the time is a useful idiot. But like I pointed out, look, Fade, you're sort of like, I mean, the best description of Fade here is that if you end up going ahead and giving them $40 to get a blowjob at a whorehouse here, he's screwing up. He'd probably be like old Jimmy Swagger, pay twice as much, not get the blowjob, and end up getting caught by the MPs. I mean, Fade really. Anyway, I went ahead and put it on as the movement turned 16.5. And he has this, Fade has this little laugh clown going, yep, 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 yep. And he calls himself William Rome, and he wrote a fairly good article about the new niggers. But a lot of this stuff is uneven, and it doesn't really end up mattering because, there's a bunch of people, Apocalypse, I think, went ahead and said that, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Say, how are you going, where do you think you have a victory at? Trader Glenn Miller, for all pack purposes here, he's gotten I think about $6,000 or something spent on it or something like that here. For all the votes, he'd do cheaper just going down to the bar on election day and giving them $10 to vote for him. Now, that's sort of illegal, but essentially it'd be cheaper than what he's going to go ahead and get. He's not going to go. I mean, what happened? What I see end up happening is that Skunk Blunt is going to win the Republican nomination, and Robin Carnahan is going to win the Democrat nomination. And I think Skunk Blunt, alleged spawner of Runt Blunt, is going to go ahead and lose because he's been a Congress critter since 1996. And outside the 7th District, he's despised. And in the 7th District, in many cases, he's despised as well. But in Missouri, he's very much despised. His son was only one term. And I was in that house when he said, I'm not going to go ahead and serve another term. And everybody was thinking, well, look, Runt Blunt, you were told to leave quietly or else. Essentially, I met Runt Blunt. Runt Blunt was a moron. Now, his daddy isn't a moron, his daddy's a crook. Total amoral, give me the money now, crook. Okay? Smarter than Runt Blunt. But the thing about it is that all Runt Blunt's done is gone ahead and presided over the economic destruction of white jobs in Missouri. Runt Blunt has been nothing more than a pay-as-you-go, get paid-as-you-go Congress critter. And I think he's going to go ahead and lose Missouri. Now, in 2000, there were all these elections that were decided, statewide elections, be it for governor and the rest, was decided by a fraction of 1%. And when the Whiggers are being outnumbered by the Beaners in Missouri, I went over to Monette yesterday. Yesterday I went over to Neosho and bought a bunch of landscape timbers, because fat ass went ahead, Emily went ahead and inserted herself, and she has her meerkat number. It's over 666. Let me see. I don't know which meerkat it is. Anyway, she got a new one here, and she was pissing and moaning last week because the one she's screwing now He's married, and his wife had a hysterectomy, so sex was painful. So he went ahead and moved Emily in, and Emily got her ass whipped by her meerkat's daughter, who went ahead and beat the crap out of Emily for screwing around, you know, with her father and, you know, on her mother here. And I heard that. That's hilarious. You know, look, Emily, you had the ass whooping going on here, but essentially Emily's back to screwing, I guess, here, because she won $10 for gas to go ahead and bring 50 landscape timbers home. I was trying to load up 3 of them in the GO, but I certainly couldn't get 5 in the GO. So we went ahead and bought there and, well, bought over 50 landscape timbers. And today I was mowing grass like crazy until I noticed that the lawnmower 20-inch blade was bent here. That's why I was keeping on digging into the ground all the whole time. So I went ahead and took it out. I couldn't, you know, I don't have a forge or anything like that to straighten it out. It's pretty well bent. So I was pretty well cutting a lot of grass, and it's supposed to rain here in Missouri for the next week here. Instead of April showers bringing May flowers, we didn't have that many April showers. We're having a bunch of May showers, but essentially I'll go ahead and build fence and I'll do a bunch of stuff. It's turned sort of cool again. So I was mowing as much as I could before it got bad. But in any case, I went over there and then went over to Monette. And Monette's known as Mexinet because that's a big old Tyson plant. And shoot, you know, there it has a population looks like it's beaners. So, Southwest Missouri, who's going to vote for old Runt Blunt or Skunk Blunt? And the answer is none. None. No, I don't have any Ford. I don't have a Ford or Chevrolet or any pickup truck at all. I have a Geo Metro. Anyway, speaking of that, Liability Clueless last week was, you know, talking about what a big pussy I was for not telling him to come on down. Well, I did tell him to come on down. I said, come on down anytime you want, Liability, and I'll take care of your mumps. Netted problem. You know, and to where you won't want to go ahead and molest any more niglet nieces. And I don't think old Bill's wire Bill is molesting his niglet nieces. They had a bunch of sisters, and they squeezed out a bunch of niglets. And when he was here in October last year, he was yapping crap about how he would never make a big deal about me being a child molester because he was charged with 2 sexual assault charges. Last week, he's on Clan of Killers on the Gangland portion of the Hitler Channel. And I go ahead and I record the stupid shit because it's in the morning, and then what they do is that about 3 hours later it shows up again. So I went ahead and recorded on VCR because the DVD recording ain't very good, so I go ahead and take it to the one. I have 2 of them of the same type, and this older one, its DVD doesn't work anymore for some reason. It's a JVC, and it didn't work very good. So I go ahead and record it, and I finally go ahead and get the thing on there, and I'll go ahead and take pictures of Liability Clueless. And Liability just sits there like a dumb asshole lump, but he's the whitest-looking character in the lot. Well, Ron Edward, he got brown eyes. And shoot, there looked like 2 or 3 beaners in there. And that's the thing about the Aryan Brotherhood. Is that not precious? Might be a brotherhood, but this precious little Aryan's among them. And I went ahead and took a picture, and oh, Liability, he's the last little lump. He just sits like a big old fat lump. And he's about 5'6" or so. And he's about 250 pounds of dog shit in a 150 pound frame, on what should be a 150 pound frame, if that much. I mean, I've never seen a man. He looks like he's about 15 months pregnant, old Liability does. He talks crap about how he's going to come down there and whip my ass. Well, anyway, oh, you saw him out there calling the killers. No, what happens is that I just mow the grass, you know, to go ahead and, you know form mulch and compound, you know, stuff here. By the way, in case I noticed here, I mean, you know, when I was in jail, I had a hell of an asparagus patch, but my brother went ahead, took over the trailer, moved his girlfriend in, and she's big and fat, looking like a pear. Oh, she looked daggers at me because I went ahead and built a fence on my, well, it's on my property, but supposedly I own half that house and that property. But anyway, I'm building it to keep out woodchucks and armadillos. I haven't seen any armadillos yet, but you know what I do is I go ahead and compost all this grass and this leaves, and that's what I was doing today. I was mowing it, putting the oil barrel going down there, and you know, putting it in. So until the blade just, you know, something sprung that blade, and it was very much bent to where there was no sense of mowing. And you know, I mean, I tried to go ahead and get on all these other mowers to take it off, but they, you know, they're it's been rusted on. It's been rusted on there, and I wasn't gonna bust a knuckle. So I'll probably go buy a blade for $5, or you know, figure out something. You know what I mean? I bought another mower last year for $100. So I may take the other blade off the new mower and do that. But anyway, so what is a muffin top? Is she a muffin top? Clan of wiggers. Yeah, clan of killers. That's what I said, clan of killers. Well, they didn't kill anybody. They beat up some 16-year-old small little beater. You know, two drunken angler mestizos beat the crap out of a little beaner, beat the crap out of them, and Morris, you know, Morris Ortiz shows up and gets $1.3 and then $1 million stuff here, and Ron Edwards, he has 15 acres, so he goes ahead and he transfers his clan to someplace else, and Morris Ortiz, he's won a big million-dollar lawsuit, so like Wiggerswill, they can't collect on, you know what I mean, just like Wiggerswill. Essentially, Covington's been run out of North Carolina by Wiggerswill. And I think that Pierce had something to do with it here. So don't talk about brotherhood and all this sort of thing when, you know, I mean, when you're going ahead, I mean, Covington, for all his faults. And I had, you know, in 2001, I mean, he came out with Hill of the Ravens, and I had a fit about it, just like every other Christian day, because Covington didn't seem to understand a single thing about Christianity, and it did, you know, essentially what boiled down to is that Christianity is going to provide all the cannon fodder, and for which we get a Class C, you know, citizenship behind all Covington's Nazis. And Covington still has this notion that, well, you gotta go ahead and swear a loyalty oath to me first here before Chris Identity. I'm looking and saying, look, you know, and I'm talking over John Brent. I said, look, that don't make any sense because, look, if you're not loyal to Yahweh, then how are you going to be loyal to Covington? Well, give an oath to Covington. If you can't be loyal to Yahweh, then, you know, how are you going to be loyal to Covington? You know, no, that don't make sense here. But, you know, I don't have any intention of fighting with Covington here. You know, in fact, I wanted to go ahead and get him onto forums or something like that. And Covington's doing a real good job here. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and send any bowel movement leader $5 or $10 or $15 here for the white race, send to Covington here, and he'll probably send you some, he'll send you back some probably good written, you know, about as good a written stuff as any in the movement, probably better than most. You know, I mean, you know, Covington actually gives good value for what you receive here. And what I like about Covington, at least Covington, ain't a freaking traitor. Traitor Glenn Miller's a traitor. Wiggerswill's a traitor. And what happens is the faith has brought in all these people, and they're making a big deal about Pierce because Pierce is an intellectual. And these people think that they're intellectuals too here. I got to wonder, faith, where are you getting this money from? And his last name is, everybody knows what his name, you know. His last name here is, he used to pretend to be George Washington's grandson, or George Wallace's grandson. That's not true here, but I don't know. I've heard that he's related to D.W. Griffin, you know, Birth of a Nation. So, You know, I mean, there's a lot of people. Well, they know. If you go ahead and look at it, it used to be under Brad Griffin. So there's some belief that old Cunter or Fade is related to, you know, is related to D.W. Lawrence here. And I guess he made a good deal of money. He certainly charged quite enough when Birth of the Nation came down. It was really, in terms of inflation, the biggest picture other than Gone with the Wind, because they were charging a good deal of money. You know, they were charging a good deal of money when it first came out here. So I don't know if old Brad Griffin is related to D.W. He might be. I don't know. You know, there's some people who said, you know, he went ahead and hinted that was exactly what it is. He lived on, he supposedly lived on, you know, I went ahead and did an IP search, and he lived on D.W. Griffith Lane or something like that in Alabama. So, you know, look, Fade, but the thing about it is that, you know, you go ahead and look at him, and, you know, his forte is going ahead and bringing all these young little intellectual wiggers who think they know so damn much. But look, wiggers, I mean, you don't know jack shit. For all practical purposes here, if you guys end up going to prison, you know, all I can say is if a nigger goes ahead and offers you some free chips, don't take it! Because what happens is he's buying your ass is what he's doing. He's buying your mangina. You know what I mean? Don't take anything free once you go to prison. And I got a laugh here that old Faye, if he ends up going to prison, because it's against the law to plot against Zog here. You know what I mean? Whether they say it openly or directly, you know, they're making a big deal about all these ragheads. But Glebe's intellectual? I don't think so. I think he went ahead and gave it to Glebe because Glebe was the most unlike Pierce. Pierce wasn't buddies. Well, I know that Red Mike Vanderkack and Morris Dees are buddies. I don't think Wiggerswill and Dees are buddies. I don't think so. Okay? But in any case, don't accept money. Don't accept anything. You end up going to prison, don't accept anything from anybody. Certainly not from some nigger. Because you accept a court law, it's just a loan. He wants you to pay it back, you don't have nothing to pay it back other than, well, your mangina. Old Fade, if he ended up going to prison here, he'd be the oldest wigger punk ever here. He'd end up having, you know, you get to where you can read these things. You've been with criminals any time here. What happens is somebody showed up, you know, first went to prison with 17 or 18 or 19 or something like that. You know, you don't want to show his tattoo. What he'll have is he'll have a big old freaking eagle or an eagle with a swastika on his freaking back here. And if he's especially willing to please here in order to go ahead and not be sold to the niggers, you know, he'll have two SS ears on both butt cheeks here. And that's what you're going to end up saying because you don't have a dang lick of sense. But, you know, Fade has been useful for setting up these forums. But it doesn't really freaking matter. I was talking to Apocalypse. And I was fairly well, you know, I know how much stuff costs. You know, V-Bulletin 4.0 costs around $285, maybe a little bit less. But it's around $285. You know, maybe old Jaybird went ahead and gave in the old 3.7.2, and that's what Breck was, you know, bitching about because he didn't have a license here. I talked to him on Stumble In Radio 2 weeks ago. We don't have a license. And then Zed said, well, yeah, we had a license, but Zed, you know, Jaybird didn't give it. So I'm guessing that maybe they got a little bit discount from 285 by going ahead and say, hey, we have 3.7.2 license. And then they go out, okay, well, we have your license here. So then they go after Stumble In, and then they can them go ahead and buy an expensive one. Before I get the V-Bulletin cost around, $280, $285, and then the server cost about $150. That's about $400. There's four of you who are, you know, admins, and I guess that it ended up coming to $400 split, you know, $100 a piece. And that's pretty well what APOC said. Okay? So I know what stuff, you know, costs. I mean, I have my own V-Bulletin forum. And I don't much care for, V-Bone 4.0. One of the things I do not like is that the links are not underlined. You have to go ahead and look and bring the mouse over them. And, you know, V-Bone 4.0, I don't think is as good as V-Bone 3.whatever. I think 3.7.2 was the best. You know, 3.7 was the best. I think it was better than 3.8. I went ahead and looked. Old Cuntair, he got his 3.7.2. He got it up and running. It's where it has tags and everything here. So he got the thing up and running, you know, pretty good. So you might have done better going ahead and buying a V-Bulletin license from somebody for $90. But, hey, too late now. And most of these people, they like their shop box or something like that here. But unlike most wiggers, and I got to go ahead and look at people with Beer Barrel, they went ahead and they put their money where their mouth was. They went ahead and spent the money. $100 a piece here. So you just know some of these people, why, hey, that just meant, okay, well, you know, a couple ounces of bud. I don't know how much it costs, but I used to go ahead and see these people, and they were talking about how it's $40 an ounce. This was way back in 1993. You want to smoke something? No, I'm not into this crap. But, you know, well, it's more for me. Well, fine. You know, but when you get too much, when you're smoking too much bud, your ability to play Advanced Squad Leader, which was a board war game with counters. You smoke tea, you drink too much beer, and you smoke too much bud. I mean, we drove all the way to Springfield here to play Advanced Squad Leader, and you want a freaking party and smoke bud and drink beer. So smoke bud and drink bud. Well, guess what? You smoke bud, drink bud, your squad leading, you know, your squad leader playing ability sort of go down the crapper here. So what was the point of us driving 60 miles to go ahead and play Advanced Squad Leader if you're just going to go ahead and be drunk as a skunk on both bud and bud? But anyway, they went ahead and probably, you know, spent $100. So, hey, that was a couple cases of beer and some bud, and, you know, bud and bud, and essentially they put their money where their mouth was. So, okay, well, there's some people who like Beer Barrel. I'm loyal to Stumble Inn. Stumble Inn's been very, very good to me here. The thing is that what happens is I am surprised by people who, rather than talk shit and whine and piss and moan, go out and actually do something here. And APOC and his three buddies, even Gene Stain, you know, well, let me see. And the rest of them here, they actually went ahead and did something. And there's so many show and blows, you know, in both life and in the bowel movement that when these people actually do something, it's impressing here. And say that is Faye's good thing is he can go ahead and get a bunch of little wiggers, intellectuals from college. He can go ahead and get them together and they can write some fairly good articles. But in many cases, it's sort of like eating cream puffs because there's nothing behind them. There's no reality. There's no political ability or there's nothing there here. Now, I can go ahead and sit down and talk about anything for 3 hours, unrehearsed, and the reason I can do that is that I know my own mind and I know what I want to go ahead and say, which reminds me, maybe I go ahead and find out what the hell I'm going to go ahead and say. I sort of got tired of listening to Old Country. It was about 20 minutes of it, though. If you want to go ahead and see some real, hear some real foolishness, victory, things of defeat here. I mean, look, Conter, you have no freaking clue as to what the hell you're talking about. I mean, you know, the thing about it is that Pierce's thing didn't last, what? It didn't last 6 months after he croaked off. Everybody was looking pretty well after themselves. It didn't last very long, did it? Anyway, I noticed that Visser supposedly is over on over on Beer Barrel, and the answer is that I doubt it's Visser. I think it's just somebody who, I think it's either Solomon or a few, somebody else who's pretending to be Visser here. Yeah, I don't know. Visser is dead, and I looked, and supposedly there was news about it, but I went ahead and looked, and I couldn't find anything about Visser, no obituaries. And, well, I wouldn't be surprised with an obituary, but essentially that Visser ends up being caught with the meth, and he gets sent to prison here, and that's why he's dead. Because he was whining about, how he got, paging Amy Rose. I'm trying to figure out Amy Rose here. I guess Amy sort of decided to go with me for some reason. I don't know here. I really don't know her that well here. So, yeah. Visser's officially dead. Yeah, well, he's officially retired on 9/07/09. And, I don't know. I'm kicking myself for saving Pisser's forum for him here. He is overwhelmed by all these Russian spammers. And, I'm still kicking myself. But at the time, I didn't know. It wasn't until the 11th of September when I knew about the 12th that I figured out that, I was told that Galette's church was safe. And Pastor Amy Linstead. Oh, there is an Amy Linstead who lives in Boston. And she married somebody. But her maiden name was Linstead. She thought I was a total monster. So, don't eat the asparagus. Asparagus is good for you. Asparagus is good for you. I love asparagus here. And you know how to eat, it ain't like I go ahead and pour the piss jugs right on top of the asparagus before I eat it. You know what I mean? Now, the asparagus, what you got to do is that when you go ahead and plant it from crown, supposedly the third year from seed, and second year you can go ahead and eat it. But usually they go ahead and eat it in April. And what I'm doing is I'm not eating any. Right now, April, May, this is about as cheap as it gets here. And I've canned a bunch of it. But it don't taste as good canned. It tastes best fresh. And we got for $1.88 a pound, so I got about 2 pounds, and I'm going to have some fresh asparagus from California. No telling what the Mexicans do with that. But, I've grown some very nice, thick asparagus. And what you do is you take some chicken manure in November, and you bank it up. You bank it up along with that grass and that compost. You put it on top, and you let the rain, go ahead and do it here. And all this nitrogen fertilizer here, is called urea. And it's either derived from chemicals or it's derived from, say, cattle, slaughterhouses, and they sell this uric acid. Well, it's from urea, from the kidneys. Essentially, all it is cow piss here. So I don't think my piss is hurting any of it. It certainly hasn't hurt any of it left here. So anyway, there was some character. There was some character who was causing some crap last time here, and I'm not going to block any. Maynard just did. Maynard. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Maynard here. Well, I sort of telling about this about some other people here. I'm still gloating that Barnard was, Barrett was dead. And over on Forifag Seeds here, one of the frog pups was getting his ass chewed. by old Von Blubens and Jake Featherstone. Was getting stick-natured, in fact. And that's, I have felt a little bit more respect for Jake here. He was sort of supportive of me when I was in the nut house. But the fact of the matter is, the Star and old Jake and Von Blevins are over on freaking Mutant Spring Front. Well, if you're a real racist, what are you doing over there? And the answer of it is, these are people who play at a game. That's exactly what they do. Anyway, sorry, Satan. Anyway, oh, hell. One Bluefin sees around, I mean, shoot. There's some people who like him, but I don't know. I mean, it's sort of weird. But old Johnson was saying, if you see him in Copenhagen, all the Danes would be clustering around him to do his taxes, because he does look a lot like a Jew. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. He used to hang around. What I have a problem with him, the problem I have with him, is that he used to hang around with the Rick Spring faction. And I think I already told about Rick Spring and Billy Roper and the rest of them here. Here they are. Rick Spring is just nothing more than just a, he's just going ahead and making out like a bandit selling these. Well, let's see. I'm looking at what I was going to cover. The death of Richard Barrett. I think I went ahead and covered that when I was in the nut house. There was this evil bitch named Jackie Appleby. And the bitch was dying of cancer. She was a vicious old bitch. She tried to go ahead and make me get up, and then wouldn't go ahead and give me my point unless I stayed up. You know, I'm thinking, well, shoot. I mean, I might as well sleep in. I mean, no big deal. Yeah, hey, nothing there. Rick Spring there. Nurse Ratched, yeah. That's what she was like, old Nurse Ratched here. You know, evil old bitch. The only good thing about it is she'd go ahead and buy the St. Louis Post-Dispatch here, and then I'd read it. That was about the only good thing about her. But eventually she died of cancer. And there's this big old Sam Owen who was pretty nice, but I never caused him any trouble. He's 6'5", and he weighs 415 pounds, a lot of it's muscle. And they like that guy because essentially, you know, they might have, you know, these 5'6", you know, women at the nut house. What they rely upon is the 6-foot white or Negro or Samoans to stay in order among these people who are nuts. Anyway, old Elliot was, you know, pretty nice to me. And one day, you know, I go ahead and said, you know, this is about 5 days after she croaked here. I said, what happened to Jackie Appleby? And I said, you know, he said, this must be the 30th time. Jackie Appleby is dead. Don't you understand that? I said, oh, yeah, I understand that. It's just I like hearing it so much. I like hearing that bitch was dead. And same way with Richard Barrett. I like hearing that bastard was dead. Now, Kurt Mann, I feel a little bit sorry for him, but I think he's suffering from reverse male telegamy. You know, Liability Clues. If you get a chance, old Liability just sits there. He just sits there like a lump. And supposedly he called himself the Club Chaplain here. But from what I gather, there was some other skinny guy who was doing the chaplain's work, and Liability was just sitting there just listening to it. And I didn't see Liability doing anything other than sitting there looking fat and stupid. And I would not be at all surprised if Liability is an 85 IQ Zogbot who essentially is spying on these evil racists in order to go ahead and get out of trouble. This idiot, he was sitting there and I was wondering, he just sat like a lump the entire day and a half he was here and didn't do anything. And I was going to teach him internet espionage and how to spy because he had an AOL account with a dynamic IP address. And AOL with a dynamic IP address Why, since it changes all the time, it's harder to spot to get banned. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he was running around in, you know, camo or something like that, and be darned if when he spits on the, you know, Jew flag, he freaking waddles. Here he comes. He's telling me that he's going to come on down. He acts like I'm a big coward. I told him, well, come on down and get gelded if you want, Liar Bill. I'll take care of your mumps nutted problem here. And that's what he told Roxy. He said he couldn't have any children because mumps had settled into his testicles and spanned them up about the size of grapefruits here. And then when they went back down, he couldn't have any more children, you know, which, I don't know, is probably a very good thing. You know what I mean? Why did chicken out of that fight, T-Lock? Well, fact of the matter is, on April 3rd, I decided to go up and eat Chuck E. Cheese's. Trader Glenn Miller told me that Trader Glenn Miller only brought with him about a dozen of his friends. Well, I guess he's doing the same thing with his bodyguard. If you go over to VNNF here, he's talking about how he has bodyguards to go over there. And when in 2004, we went ahead and did this here, I was trying to get him to run for United States Senator. I was going to run for governor. And essentially what boiled down to was, well, I don't want to run for Congress. I don't want to run for Senator. And essentially what boiled down to is, I don't know if my parole officer will let me. Trader Glenn Miller is still a Zogbot. He's still out there. With Pastor Bill, check it out, the fight. Over the years, I have insulted quite a few fucktards. And the only one I've ever actually been a little bit worried that could take me was a guy named Jeff Randolph, who could have took me here. You know, he was a pig. You know, and, you know, he was dangerous. But you end up having all these fucktards talking about how they're going to do something. And the answer is nobody's going to go ahead and do something here. I have seen show and blow arts here. I've seen them in the nut house. I've seen them all this here. Essentially, look, I'm not going to drive up to St. Louis to do a home invasion to hurt old Liar Bill. Liar Bill is not going to come down here and have me just go ahead and shorten the mile, you know, shorten the mile for the SK or, you know, 12 gauge. Now, if I get in trouble, if I commit if I'm accused of a felony here in Missouri, I don't go to jail. I go up to Biggs for 96-hour evaluation. And I've seen how these 96-hour evaluations become a 21-day evaluation, then a 6-month evaluation that goes ahead and goes on for years here. And that's what happened to me. I couldn't bail out of this nut house. So if I go ahead and we go ahead and kill old Liar Bill the Clueless here, chances are I wouldn't see some needle, but then again, I sort of got a belly full of living, you know, eating big swill, living with the nuts. You know, at Biggs, it's 60% nigger. So, I didn't check it out. Liar Bill's just talking the stupid crap. He's not going to come down here so I can geld him. Now, if he comes down here, after talking all this shit, I can do whatever the hell I want to. Chances are, I get away with it. And Liar Bill knows that. But no, I'm not going to go. I mean, I have no use for Liar Bill. I have no use for old Visser. All these here little wiggers, all these Jews and the rest here sort of think, oh, I'm going to call Martin Lister Chalmolester here. That's going to hurt his little feelings. I have 3.5 years of dealing with criminals. And, you know, the big news is, well, he went ahead and killed his grandson after he raped his grandson. Well, I didn't rape my grandson. Never even kissed his penis here. This is what gets me about you regime criminals here. You have set it to where, I have a perfect moral right to go ahead and grab your children, torture them, and to testify against you. What the hell are you going to say? What the hell are you going to say? Oh, I looked at this here thing called Turner here, you know, this Turner report. Well, what was Bill says and says like? For all this matter, guest number 27, who are you? What is Bill? You know, the thing about it is why, Bill, he weighs 250 pounds. He's 5'6". The only way Liar Bill could go ahead and take me here is that, well, I don't see it happening here. If you went ahead and looked at him here, he's a big, fat tard. I could take Liar Bill. I could kill Liar Bill. Why would I want to do that? I'm not scared of Liar Bill. Liar Bill is just yapping the stupid shit here. He's not going to come on down. If Liar Bill wants to come on down, he got an invitation. He can come on down. But if I see him, I'll just assume he's here up for no good, and I'll deal with him accordingly. Go like little Bill Daggett did, you know, with old English Bob. And Unforgiven. You have no business down here, Liar Bill. Liar Bill, I owe you a skinning. I owe your whole family, worthless family, a skinning. I'm not scared of you, Liar Bill. Any more I'm scared of Traitor Glenn Miller? That's just a bunch of bullshit. Fact of the matter is, I've seen people go ahead and show and blow. And essentially what boiled down is just like, well, I was in eighth grade or what? Yeah, eighth grade. Here are these two people making a big deal. The coach went ahead and put them in boxing gloves. And the stupid shits just looked at each other for 5 minutes. And then they sparred, you can see the little chicken fight, mounted to more. And most swiggers, they talk shit, and they have no intention of going ahead and killing people. None. So, anyway. Perfect right to torture children? The fact of the matter is that, if you want to go ahead and look at chapters, chapter 8, 9, and 10. The Second Kings. Jehu went ahead and exterminated Ahab's family. Jehu went ahead and exterminated anyone who served Jehu. Look, regime criminals, you don't have a right to go ahead and live. Your family has to pay the price for your criminality. Now, the reason of it is that you don't care for your criminality. What you do is that Uyghurs have to pay for it. The Uyghurs will go ahead and refer to me, refer these regime criminals, and I'll deal with you as I see fit here. Look, guest number 27. What does it say? Torture them. I know. But the fact of the matter is, guest number 27, if you do evil, I get to do whatever the hell I want to you. Here's all these pigs with their little tasers. They torture people. I've seen people being tortured in the jails. And the thing about it is that you want to go ahead and whine that you have nothing but good. You have nothing but a fair trial coming back to you here. Guess what, regime criminals? Oh, by the way, guest number 27, you're the one who's going ahead and saying for a fair fight. I have no idea who you are, guest number 27. And you're not going to go ahead and say that, say anything about it. In any case, what's that, Well, do you think these people, these evil people care about their children? The answer is they don't. What you do is that you go ahead and you make the Uyghurs pay for the crimes of the regime criminals. And then the criminals will be overawed to where they don't do anything. I live with a bunch, 90%, 95% of the people running around are Uyghurs. Of the Uyghurs, they're running around. The rest are MUDs. They have no business living in this country at all. So what do you do with Uyghurs? And the answer of it is, you let nature take its course. Now, when I'm talking about torture, I ain't talking about now. I'm talking about when it comes time to essentially make the regime criminals pay for it. the criminal. When you, I mean, you act, you know, you're just like, that's like any other pig here. Ha, 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 I went ahead and, well, as a cop, I went ahead and got rid of all the evidence against me. Pig, I know what you did. I know what the rest of you pigs did. One pig commits a crime. The rest of the pigs have to pay with their lives and with their family's lives for what that one pig did. If you are in a position of power and authority, and someone goes ahead, either your friend or someone underneath you or someone above you, they commit a crime and they get away with it, you all have to pay for it. You have to pay for your crimes. That's what Saul had to do. He went ahead and killed some Gibeonites. They were the Israelites' niggers. They're hewers of wood and they're drawers of water. They had to pay for Saul's crime. Saul's sons and grandsons paid for his crime. Ahab's sons paid for his crime. Ahab's male priest paid for his crime. Ahab's police paid for his crime. Ahab's wiggers paid for his crime. You read that for 3 years there was a drought in Israel because of David. He went, what was wrong with that? You know, what's wrong? The lies, the slander? Guest number 27, you sound like the pisser. You probably are the pisser. The slander. Sound like Clunt. Goes ahead and bans people. Same way as the pisser here. What slander? Don't even know who you are. The asparagus. God, you are so clever. Guest number 27, the thing about it is, you don't understand here. If I went ahead and found out your IP number here, chances are, just like I told Maud Defraud, you'd be the 666th wigger I skinned alive. I skin out there 665, and then go ahead and let you piss down your leg here, wondering if you're going to go ahead and get away with your crime, and then finding out that you didn't. You commit evil. You think you're fooling somebody. Well, I know how to go ahead and break a wall of silence. You just grind that entire wall into meat. And that's what the Great Tribulation is about. Wigger, there's no getting away. You're getting away with your crime. You all have to pay. You have to pay for the crimes of those you allow to rule over you. And if you don't like paying for it, then you make sure that whoever rules you or in your name does not commit any crimes. Anyway. Yeah. Guest number 22, guest number 24, you have some sense here. You kicked me out of the chat room, that's censorship. Mister, if I knew who you were, chances are I'd give you a lot more than censorship here. The fact of the matter is that most cases we cannot get along. We're not going to. Why in the world? It's sort of like when, here's old Judas the Juice. He wants to go ahead and impose all sorts of little rules. He says, well, I'm your brother. No, you're not. Chances are you're just lying lamp mamzer. Came here to cause trouble. In any case, those tourist smells of anti-free speech. Dumbass, if I could kick your ass out, I would here. Let's see. Okay. Hell. Asparagus. Guest number 27. Oh, shoot, I just found out how to get rid of the worthless bastard. Anyway, yeah. Be glad I can go ahead. Be glad that I can go ahead and only ban your ass. If I could find you and skin you, you and your spawn, I'd do that. You know what I mean? Don't kid yourself here. I'm reminded of this thing here to where this, you know, to where, you know, the man who went ahead and gave one talent, five talents, and 10 talents. He said, you knew I was an austere man. He went ahead and reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I did not dung. But in many cases here, if you know that I'm not a nice person to get along with, maybe you better not go ahead and mess with me. Anyway, I'm looking at this here. Robert Campbell. This Robert Campbell, this Tart Leewisburg, I'm pretty convinced that he's a Zogbot. He's a Zogbot in with Wiggerswill. You know, I mean, Covington asked for a confidential thing here. I'm going to pretty well honor that. But yeah, I think Robert Campbell, this Tard Leewisburg, you know, he's in with Wiggerswill and the rest of it here. If Covington thinks he's been following him around, he probably has. In case Covington, you do have a Zogbot spying on you. Okay. This is Cinder Ghetto. Okay. I think I covered this. The above ground still DSCI church here. Okay. I want to go ahead and cover. Let's see. What was that? Okay. The above ground DSCI church here. As a result of what Butler did, there really is not very much of an above ground DSCI church here. Eli James has his own following. Wickstrom has his own following, but I don't worry about anything Wickstrom may say about me because Wickstrom has his own problems, and I don't need to go ahead and cover it. Everybody who knows anything about knows Wickstrom's problems. He has a bunch of them. So I knew about Dan Johnson. Well, Dan Johns is a nice enough guy, and, you know, I mean, Dan Johns has his own problems. There really isn't any real much above ground dual seed line Christianity church. Now, when people go ahead and ask me a bunch of questions over in the 90s, if I thought it was a, you know, something that I really didn't need to know, and I have never gone ahead and cruised around looking for information that I don't really need to know anything about. In fact, sometimes when people are about to tell me something I don't really need to know about, I just go ahead and tell them is that I really don't need to know anything about this and leave it at that. But, I mean, if there was some sort of information, and one time I was pretty well chewing ass on this FBI Zogbot. A week later, this character, you know, he pretends he doesn't know who I am, and then he wants to go ahead and talk about Timothy Combs, a.k.a. Bob Wilson. And some character says me a thing about Bob Wilson, gets all pissed off when I don't respond to it. And I think it was that FBI tard trying to go ahead and claim that I lied to him, that I didn't know anything about Timothy Combs, and I don't. In fact, I never met Mr. Combs. This Timothy Combs was supposedly somebody who went ahead and shot this fat piece of shit highway patrolman named Bob Harper, supposedly. And I think that might very well be a lie. But generally, most people who live around here in Southwest Missouri knew that Bob Harper was a big fat crook, and most of the people who thought that if he did get shot, he was shot by a McDonald County Sheriff's deputy who didn't like the fact that Bob Harper was stealing his fair share of the dope money, of the drug money that was running around Luke Keeling and the rest of them. So, Luke Keeling was a big cokehead and the rest of them, and you know about all these McDonald County sheriff's deputies over the years, they go ahead and they transport the marijuana and the coke here. I mean, I think this Evanston is a little bit more off. The Fleshman's a crook. In any case, you know, they hear, you know, oh, Bob Jones ordered, you know, ordered this, you know, Timothy Combs to slam or something like that. And the people who knew Timothy Combs said that he had coke bottle glasses and he could have maybe shot an elephant if he'd been swallowed by one. So marksman he was not. You're just a legal researcher or something like that. And by the way, I'm looking at Red Mike Vanderkuyt, and along with the militia movement, it sounds like this common law grand jury thing is beginning to go ahead, and they're doing just like they did with Bill Clinton. They're saying that he's a traitor, and they're giving him a while to stop. And you know, it's just another bunch of patriotard games here or something like that here. But from what I gather, there really is not much of an above-ground dual seedline Christian Danny church. Now, if you want to go ahead and know something about it, you go ahead and look at the various web pages. If you want to go ahead and spend $100 or so, and you're going to be lucky. Mike Hallamore is not doing a very good job of it. He wasn't doing a very good job of it 10 years ago. He's certainly not doing a very good job of it today. But if you want, you can go ahead and get a bunch of Tom Poray and Wesley Swift material. And probably the best arranged is the AIT course. But I wouldn't get that here. I'd go over to William Fink's Christogenia and pretty well look what Emma Heiser has done with Bertrand Comparé's work. Now, I don't know if I agree with everything. I mean, we've already discussed this. But if you want to go ahead and learn about dual seedline Christianity, go ahead and read what Emma Heiser has to say about Comparé. Because he did a very thorough reevaluation and synopsis of Comparé's work. And that would probably be the best or easiest way to do it here. But as far as above ground church accepting tithes or something like that, there is none. There really is none. There really none. I mean, Wickstrom will take whatever money you give them. I imagine maybe some other people will too. I don't ask and I don't accept money. So, so the question of it is that thing about it is I don't believe that Visser ever got any money because I was going ahead and reading them on Sperm Front. I think the only money he ever got, was Zogbucks from the rest of them. Okay? Anyway, let's see. I've covered the pisser in the beer barrel. I don't think it's him. My own run for U.S. Senate and the lawsuit is that I need to go ahead and work on it last week. I need to go ahead and work on it this week, but I haven't because I've been tired. But essentially what I'm going to go ahead and say is that, guess what? The white man cannot openly run for political office because what you've done is that in 1944 in Smith versus Allwright, this nigger sharecropper named Lonnie Smith wanted to vote in the Texas all-white primary. It was an all-white primary by law. Negroes were not allowed to have a primary ballot. The United States Supreme Court in 1944 went and ruled, guess what? Niggers got to vote. Even if it was an all-white primary, the political parties were not independent. Freedom of association, because, yes, they're asking to go ahead and have political power. Therefore, they're a public. They're a public organization which cannot be denied on the basis of race. Well, thanks to Trader Glenn Miller in 2006, the white man's a new nigger. Now, this William Rome, who was Pip Pockets, a.k.a., country's little piglet, wrote a hell of a good article. But that's the problem with the old fade stuff here is that there's just no carry through or anything like that on it here. But yeah, the white man's a new nigger. All he is just a slave. And that's why what they're doing in Arizona. Saying that guess what? The white man is not allowed not to go ahead and feed the beaner. Not allowed to go ahead and do whatever the hell they want to. Because the white man gotta go ahead and pay for the nigger and the beaner and the rest. And the Wigger, that's what I was trying to tell my friend John Britton, when he was in Brazil. Yeah, Israel elect is pretty good. Okay? Israel elect's pretty good. Okay? Yeah. You do handle by the Pro Think Jew crew? Yeah, oh, by the way, pastorlisted.org. I probably need to go ahead and get it up. I went ahead and bought, you know, a different server. The only thing that was really there was my blog. I didn't give up the forum, you know, was sort of iffy. The web page, that can be moved anytime, you know, because it's an HTML web page. Okay. So, okay. Okay, the economic dominoes of the pigs, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain. If you want to know what's really going on, read The Market Ticker by Kurt Dettinger, marketticker.org. Essentially, he points out is that what's happening in Greece is going to go ahead and migrate to Italy, Portugal, Spain, Great Britain, and Zog, because essentially Zog's in the same position as Greece is. Our deficit is what, 11%? Greece's was 12.9. They don't think they're going to be able to pay those Greece, you know, Greece things here. And essentially, you know, just like this other guy, Reed, is June. And I need to go ahead and send some of it over to the beer barrel. You know, I've heard what June's real name is, but I don't like using it because I don't need to know it. You know, it's after this cartoon, it's after this children's book character here. And he pretty well wrote that, you know, the Jews were trying to go ahead and make the Greek people pay for it, and the Greek people rioted here. So I guess the Greeks, being Mamzers, have a lot more sense than Wiggers in the United States. But guess what? There's not much difference between a default rate, you know, between debt rate of 12.9 and the 11% that the Zogland has. The thing about it is there's nobody able to go ahead and upgrade the Zogland. This Carl Denzer said, hey, look, Germany, say the hell with the euro and go back to just printing up your own, you know, Deutschmarks, because it's the Germans who are, you know, it's the Germans who are the whitest people who are paying for the rest of Europe. And Greece got in by lying about their debt. Why in the world should Germans, the German taxpayer, pay for a bunch of, you know, bunch of Greeks, a bunch of Turkish Mamzers? There's no sense to it. And rather than spend $550 billion to bail out Greece, essentially kick Greece out of the, you know, kick Greece out of the European Union. Tell them to go ahead and issue their own drachmas. That's what they used to go ahead and have, or at least that's why I used to spend while I was in Crete in 1983. And let them have their own country and let them run their own economy as best they can. Dangerous showed out is that if you just go ahead and just print the debt here. Like, for example, like the United States here, it'd be less than what the Federal Reserve is doing. So anyway, if you want to go ahead and look and see what's going on, I'd recommend reading marketticker.org, and I'd recommend by Carl Dettinger. And in any case, Greece, you know, and Spain, and it's come to America. Because if you end up not being able to go ahead and pay your bills, sooner or later, there's just no going ahead and paying for it here. So this is spring. If you have a choice or a chance or something like that, what I would do is I'd go ahead if you can grow your own food, and live frugally. Buy as much 22 ammunition as you can. That's what you should do. Anyway, so, yeah. What's wrong with the pigs? You know, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, you know, P-I-I-G-S, but it's the same thing. Pigs in Europe, the same problem with America. Jew banksters are living countries, treasury. So, Anyway, yeah, Zogbucks are back with nuclear arsenal. I mean, you gotta laugh. The thing about it is the homeless people, you don't know. I mean, it may, you know, that's what gets me is what is scaring Zog isn't so much these homeless people, they don't have anything to lose. But what scares Zog is that there will be somebody, be it a Hitler or a Stalin or a Robespierre. And what they do is that you end up having with these Uyghurs who are siding with these Jews, you end up having an aristocracy which is rotted out. And Felix Dzerzhinsky, he knew how to deal with a rotted out aristocracy. He went ahead and essentially destroyed them by going ahead and using, you know, his power, you know, and a bunch of criminals, but he was able to go ahead and destroy the Russian aristocracy because there's a rotted aristocracy. Nobody missed it. And the thing about the Uyghur aristocracy now, the Uyghur good old boy system, is that nobody's going to go ahead and miss them either. So, anyway, I sort of think that I've pretty well covered everything. Red Mike Vanderbilt, Sipsy Streets Irregular. He's getting a little bit goofy because, essentially there's a lot of people who's on to him that, you know he's an SPLC and ADL militia general. And I was talking to this guy named, Walter Reddy. And, here's Red Mike trying to bluster and get his way and, you know, come up with a fuss. Essentially, this Walter Reddy told these people from Oath Keepers, I think Red Mike's an Asian provocateur. And as a result, they didn't go to Red Mike's open carrier thing in Virginia. Anyway, fate hangs around these people. The thing about it is, these Uyghurs, they don't want to see you if you're, quote, racist. Now, it's been like this with the Reform Party and the U.S. taxpayers and the rest. This is Jew Falls Front here. Now, the Constitution Party used to be the U.S. taxpayers. It was run by a Khazar Jew named Harold Phillips. And I met Mr. Phillips. And he was a, quote, Christian Jew and all this sort of thing. No. Whenever there's a Jew, there's some, you know, the Jew is running things. And it's one to go ahead and get Uyghurs chasing their tails here. So like a Uyghur is sort of like, you know, he pursues things. He's sort of like, you know, you've heard of a dog chasing his, you know, tail? Well, a Uyghur is sort of like a mad cow chasing his tail. You know, the old shit and crested tail, you know, the old cow is trying to go ahead and put the tail in its teeth. And the cow is running around in circles here because it's totally addle painted. And that's what your Reform Party and your Libertune Party in some cases, but they're sort of a meaner bunch. That's exactly what they are, just a bunch of Uyghurs. And they have to have a token nigger in order to go ahead and assure themselves that they're not racist. They're not racist at all. I've seen this, you know, in my years in politics here. Ever since 1994, every 2 years, except for the time that I was in the Nuthouse. And yeah, the Uyghurs want to go ahead and pretend that they're not racist. And what they do is they've got to go ahead and get a token nigger. That's what Pat Buchanan did. He went ahead and chose a nigger because Alan Keyes wouldn't do it. The reason he chose a nigger, a Looney Tune coon, named Ebola, well, I call her Ebola Gaze, but her name was the old Foster. And essentially, what it was is that he was turning over his racist audience to go ahead and get them pissed off at Buchanan so they would go ahead and vote for, you know, for Bush. He got 12.5 million as the nominee of the Reform Party. And then in 2001, when me and this Doc Keller fellow went down there, he wouldn't even pay $5,000 to pay for the Forum Party convention. The Forum Party was taken over by these Buchananites going ahead and doing that anti-abortion platform. Even though Buchanan said, I won't change the platform. Well, he did change the platform after he destroyed the party. Buchanan is sort of like somebody who goes ahead and steals $1,200 from a sister from prostitution and then won't give her 50 cents for for a cup of coffee. Because that's the real, $1,200 to 50 cents is a relationship of $12.5 million to $5,000. Wouldn't even pay for that here. So, here's old Cuntair, Fade the Butcher, making a big deal about Buchanan. Buchanan is a lying whore. And I had a bunch of people who supported Buchanan in 1996, and he went ahead and sold out to Bob Boob Dolt, and they sort of gloated when he did the same thing and said, do not vote for the smart list. He's racist. He's bigot. He's this. He's that. I thought I was a Buchananite here. I support Pat Buchanan here, and then Pat Buchanan goes ahead and denounces me for racism. That's the sort of shit that ends up happening. And look, Hunter, you hang around these people, they will screw you. You can't trust them. So why are you dealing with these people? Why in the world are you dealing with these people here? Anyway. Well, I think Oath Keepers was founded by some Mamzer. But in any case, the thing about it is that these people, what Zog is scared of, and the reason Zog shows up with all these Zog false fronts here is to go ahead and make sure that no leadership, no dangerous leadership, no dangerous Robespierre, no dangerous Stalin, no dangerous Hitler rises up. Now, that's part of the reason that I was pretty well sent to jail, and sent there here. I was looking at this thing from Randy Turner. Cousin Randy, I made fun of the bastard. He was two grades ahead of me in class. He wrote a bunch of shit about me while I was in the nut house. And I've been screwing with him. I have a forum called the Turner Diaries as opposed to Randy Turner's The Turner Reports. Occasionally I go ahead, take a picture of these two inbred hillbillies. I chose the uglier one of the two. And he's a little scump to Turner. And I was making a big deal about that a while back ago. Now, Turner's a little bit running a little bit scared. Every so often, I screw with it. I go ahead and write something, screw with him, and then I go ahead and post it on to my forum, and he knows I'm sort of gunning for him. I think he's laying low here because he's scared that I'll go to the school board and say, why are you hiring this homosexual school teacher? Maybe you need to fire old Turner because he's a bad influence for these kids. And that's what he does. He promotes his liberal wigger bullshit to where you have to write a report on civil rights. Why? You just go ahead and write that Medgar Evans was just a nigger and Emmett Till deserved whatever the hell he got at the hands of these Mississippians who didn't like their women being pawed over. Well, I bet you're going to go ahead and get an F from old Randy Turner. But where was I? He went ahead and pointed out that this one guy, the guy is probably guilty as hell, gets found with a whole bunch of child porn, and his bail was $3,500. Whereas here they are claiming that I'm kissing my grandson's penis. There's no way of proving that. For sure, one way or the other, and I have a $100,000 cash bond. How in the world was I supposed to come up with a $100,000 cash bond? And the answer is I wasn't. I was supposed to go ahead and be in jail and take the public pretender that they wanted to force on me, and since I wouldn't accept the public pretender, I got sent to the nut house where I could not bond out. where all I was in prison and doped up for years. Now, people are saying, well, what kept you going? The answer of it is that, like much like these Muslims, you understand that whatever happens is what Yahweh wills. This revolution is fought on Yahweh's time, not your own. And that's why the Muslims are winning. And that's why we will win. But I advocate, you know, be it the skinning alive of regime criminals and their spawn, is nothing that isn't going to happen regardless. Babylon will fall. Babylon is doomed. And like all these movement nakers and all these wiggers who are looking for a great wigger leader to save them, I don't say anything's going to save them. I say that things are going to get bad. Things are going to fall apart. There's going to be a great tribulation. And that's what Dual Seed Mind believes in. Now, for those people who got betrayed by Trader Glenn Miller, you should have known better than follow a drunken Anglo-Mestizo in the first place. You should have looked at him and knew that he was a Cherokee from North Carolina or a hacksaw or a shit-ass from the No-Wipe'em tribe, and that's why he can't handle his liquor. And you should have known better than you have something to do with him in the first place. But yet you did. He betrayed you. Same way with Wiggerswill. These people who worship themselves, who are complete solipsists, you can't trust them. You can't trust them at all. Do not betray you. So why do you act so surprised when he does betray you? That's exactly what you do. Don't be surprised. You know, Trader Glenn Miller is just acting according to his nature. Now, I got to laugh here because I'm reading that, you know, he's over on VNN telling about how he goes with his bodyguards to his post office box in Springfield. Well, who the hell is your bodyguards? Ain't VNN S-cards. So who's your bodyguards? Answer? All these people. Well, you know, your parole officer, your witness protection people. You know what I mean? You know, sort of like this guest number 27 here. I'm supposed to meet Bill somewhere? Why? Is someone going to get killed? Are we going to go ahead and fight like a bunch of little chickens? The answer is no. Is why Bill going to pull out a gun and shoot me? He's a fat tard here. If you go ahead and look at Clan of Killers, there was no clan of killers. It was just two drunken Anglo-Mestizos beating up some little skinny little beaner who's 16 years old. And they're drunk. Well, nobody got killed. You know what I mean? Should have been clan of fucktards is what it should have been. Well, I mean, here they are showing the Latin Kings. Well, guess what? When the niggers are violent, there's a big nigger and beaner and whatever body count. There is an actual body count. But clan of killers? Nobody got killed by this clan of killers. It was a clan of cluckers, but yeah, it was so pathetic. Here's Liar Bill just sitting here. And I sort of think Liar Bill is nothing more than an 85 IQ tard who's just sitting there collecting information, then going ahead and giving it to somebody. And, you know, pretty well the rest of that on Pitzer Sender is that they keep on trying to build it into an ember. But it don't amount to nothing here because guess what? There's just only so many ways you can say Martin List is a chomo and that John Britton is a drunken Tonto Indian. You know, neither one of them's true. None. So, anyway, clan of killers. Yeah, well, clan of fucktards, more like. Anyway, the last days of tribulation are brought about by financial collapse. I think, you know, the thing about it is that, nobody listening is able to go ahead If the cops are going to go ahead and throw you in prison for whatever they trump up, you know, you don't have any protection from the bill of goods or the constipation or nothing here. All it is just a bunch of criminals who went ahead and made this stuff up here. Oh, this reminds me here. Your bitch and I made fun of constipation. Alexander Hamilton was half Jew. He had a Jew father and he had a Scottish whore mother. He was a little bastard, a little Jew bastard. And what happens, he was one of the founders of the Constitution. And I went ahead and looked at something here, and some people pointed out that Article 3 was altogether blank. It was just a blank check. They made this stuff up here. You had John Marshall and Alexander Hamilton going ahead and said, no, we ain't going to do this crap in the Constitution. Why, the power, everything other than the enumerated powers in the Constitution are reserved to the people of the states, the 10th Amendment and the 9th Amendment. Well, guess what? First thing Alexander Hamilton did is he went ahead and set up the First Bank of the United States. He sold stock in it, but not everybody could buy stock. Only insiders, i.e. Jews, and the rest of these criminals were allowed to buy this stuff here. Even Carl Janger, he figured out that essentially the deal that Cornwallis was trying to go ahead and tell George Washington, said, guess what? It don't matter. We'll give you independence just as long as you're under the Bank of England, the Jew banksters from the Bank of England. And that's exactly what happened. In your precious constitution, your bill of goods, they set up a bank. Even though it wasn't mentioned, Marbury versus Madison, you know, John Marshall went ahead and grabbed power. But in McCulloch versus Maryland, the state of Maryland tried to go ahead and tax the banknotes of this bank, this paper money that was printed up, these debt instruments, in 1804. This precious, you know, this precious constipation, this precious republic, was less than 8 years, and John Adams is passing the Alien and Sedition Acts to where, guess what, you say something against the government, you get thrown in jail. Alien and Sedition Acts. This precious constipation was not worth the toilet paper it was written on. All it is just a little pretense here. They're under rule of law. It's a limited government. No, it ain't. And Alexander Hamilton was setting up a bank within 6 months. Rhode Island and North Carolina hadn't even ratified the Constitution yet. And Alexander Hamilton was setting up the First Bank of the United States. So why in the world do people wonder why it took, why things are so bad now? Well, it was set that way up here. Under the constipation as interpreted by George the First Washington and Alexander Hamilton, there was to be a private bankster, private group of banksters, centralized banksters, who are going to go ahead and have private stock in a private bank and put up money. And guess what? This happened, 220 years ago. And now the end result is made manifest. But it could have happened back then as well, because that's the way the constipation and bill of goods was set up. Well, ERISA's enumerated. Well, guess what? Now it's necessary and proper, and, well, we need to go ahead and set up a national bank. You know what I mean? Yeah. No one ever voted for the constipation. It was just a bunch of lawyers who got together. This thing was set up. Babylon was set up way back when the Constitution and Bill of Goods was set up here. If you want to look at the founding document of America, it's the Declaration of Independence, which says, essentially, when people have enough of the crap, they do whatever the hell they want to against anybody who dares to try to pretend to rule them. If you don't want to go ahead and pay the price for attempting by fraud and violence to rule over the people, if you can't go ahead and pay for it, with your own heads and pelts, then maybe you better not play at setting up a despotism. But that's what gets me with all these patriotards, be they Fade or the rest of them here. They're playing at revolution here. If you're serious about revolution, you don't go ahead and have anything to do with somebody who is suing somebody else in a state court because they didn't like what was said about them. General Wiggerswill is going to go ahead and tell Trader Glenn Miller how to sue me. And generally, I said, look, Trader Glenn Miller. You know, in fact, the matter, I'm suing Trader Glenn Miller. If you go ahead and look at, the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri versus Obama, versus ex-Senator Barack Hussein Obama. Essentially, the church is the lead plaintiff. It's the Church of Jesus Christ Christian / Aryan Nations of Missouri versus ex-Senator Barack Hussein Obama. 08, whatever. I forget the rest of the number. But unlike this false front here, I'm actually going ahead and pointing out that guess what? The white man, if he's not able to go ahead and run for public office, then then these elections are fraudulent. And he need pay no taxes. He need obey no government. The only reason you obey any government is because they have the guns. And if they don't have the guns, and they don't have the power, and you have the opportunity to go ahead and ambush and kill, and exterminate your enemies, the Jews, the Uyghurs, the Mamzers, go ahead and do it. Do whatever the heck you want to them, and don't let pity for regime criminals stay your hand. Yesterday, I made 5 years. And this evil pig went ahead, he slapped on the handcuffs so that I lost feeling him. They're starting to turn blue and they're starting to swell up a little bit. 15 minutes in jail here. This pig just loved me, me feeling bad. The bastard wouldn't even let me read the freaking, arrest warrant. You know what I mean? $100,000 cash bond. How was I supposed to make that? And the answer is I wasn't supposed to make it. So what happened to your Eighth Amendment, Bill of Goods guarantee for, excessive bail will not be imposed? Just a bunch of Uyghur shit. Didn't mean nothing. Zog does whatever the hell Zog wants to do. It's always been that way. Zog don't obey any laws that don't want to. In any case, anyway, Dick Butler. Okay, well, you're right, Frank and Wigger. Oh, by the way, I went ahead and started this Frank and Wigger thing, and essentially old Fade or his little flunkies wouldn't let that thing appear on his little precious little blog. So, I don't know. I mean, Fade is just doing his little stupid Fade shit. There's a lot of people think that Fade's not going to go ahead and last very long, and I think that very well may be right here. But in case, if you get a chance, go ahead and listen to old Fade, and Fade has no idea what the hell he's talking about or what he's doing, and that shouldn't be surprising to anybody who knows Fade the Butcher. But on the other hand, he has been useful in that way back in 2005, he went ahead and spent $160 and about another couple hundred, he went ahead and formed a forum. But now you have all these forums, and you don't have, it's sort of like over four fag feeds here. It's sort of gone downhill now that the only first-class writer, Ragno, don't hardly post there anymore. You end up having people like Star or Jay Featherstone or the rest of them who have somewhat of an idea, but I mean, they'd be hard-pressed to write a paragraph of anything smart. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with having fun on a forum, be it StumbleIn or Beer Barrel or anything like that here. The reason StumbleIn lasted pretty good is that even the non-whites, you know, like, like Anunnaki and June Stay and the rest, they wanted to be good white men, even if they weren't. You know what I mean? And so you have some character like Ixenberg pretend to be a Nazi, Linda back like an ass clown. That sort of went ahead and took the thing out of here. And I was wondering, is that the old Breck, the noble Indian, he's acting a lot more like a white than most Swiggers do. So, in any case, I sort of got down on Apocalypse for being sort of mean to Breck. But on the other hand, they couldn't, you know, the one who really started the crap was Zed. But, on the other hand, you can't stick niggers Zed if you don't go ahead and make one post. So, I'm sure if old Zed made one post, he'd be stick niggered. So, in any case. Anyway, I sort of think that I'm covering stuff just for the sake of covering stuff here. But, you know, in any case here, you know, it's a good thing that it's spring and, you know, the food, you know, it's not winter. But folks, you don't know how much longer Zog has. So if you have a chance, you know, while food and the rest of the stuff is attainable. And, you know, let me just say is that I used to know people, you know, my stepdaughter and her little meerkat husband, the rest of them here, you know, essentially the grandkids would come over here to eat. And me and Roxy didn't mind feeding them. We loved feeding them. But these people could not make it when gasoline was $1 a gallon. So how are most of these people going to make it when gas is $3 a gallon? The answer is they're not. You know, increasingly, Uyghurs are not able to go ahead and take care of themselves. So the people who are listening here, by all means, Kagan, shoot. Can you say Lesbo Jewish? Can you say Lesbo Kikus? This is a total kike female. You know what I mean? A total Khazarian, Ashkenazi Jew looks like a kike female here. You know what I mean? She looks like Griddle from the Shittle. You know what I mean? Oh, hey, you know, I mean, she is not an Esther Kikus, that's for sure. I don't think Frankenwigger could be seduced here to screw an old Gretel from the Shettle from that here. Oh, my God, Lord. Can you say Jew lesbian? Oh, it's awful here. And she makes, you know, I mean, she makes old Sotomayor, the beanery, you know, the ugly beaneress, the wise ugly beaneress, look like a fashion plate. Oh, jeez. I mean, old John Paul Stevens here. There's Cat Licks and Mackerel Snappers and, there's no Uyghur Protestant, you know. I mean, you got Jewesses and, old Buzzy Ginsburg still on there here? You know what I mean? Well, look, Frankenwigger, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself, Frankenwigger. Just make sure that you don't go ahead. I mean, I don't think even Frankenwigger would be interested in old that Kagan Kikus. Oh, good. I mean, you know, the nigger's talking about going ahead. I mean, we all have plenty of Jews and Jewesses on there. What happens, there's actually no so-called Protestant there. None on the court. Essentially, this looks like, you know, this looks like overrepresentation by Jews and Muds and Uyghurs. There's no white people on there anymore on the court. No intention of it. So as a result, this little court pretense isn't going to last very much longer. I mean, people ain't going to respect any law coming from somebody who does not look like them. And this Kagan Kikus does not look like the vast majority. She looks like an ugly she's a lesbian. Now, maybe she ain't a lesbian, but, you know, shoot. I mean, old Gretel, even Jude Jones here, I don't know if they're, you know, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and want to screw that here. If they are, you know, it'll be through a hole in the sheet. The sheet, you know, there's not going to be holes to go ahead and look out. Hey, I mean, shoot. They'll just say, thank God my one-eyed monster can't go ahead and see that ugly carcass. Oh, boy. Yeah. 60% Hispanic, well, it used to meant somebody from Hispania, from the Hispania, you know, Iberian Peninsula. But, you know, shoot, these are just, you know, mestizos and the rest here. But, no, I mean, she just, whew. I wouldn't do anything with all that Kagan kike. I mean, shoot. Good Lord. Ugly. 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 But anyway, I think I pretty well covered this here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and post on Fade the Butcher's forum and occasionally his blog. But you know, and Fade is useful. Fade has been useful for going ahead and creating these forums. But the problem of it is, this is not 5 years ago. There's no shortage of forums to go ahead and post on. And intellectual wiggers are never going to amount to nothing at all. The reason they're not going to amount to nothing is because they never have amounted to anything. And they're not about to go ahead and start now. So, I mean, I don't begrudge Fade trying this stuff here, but especially when you have people like Trader Glenn Miller, to where no open white can go ahead and run for political office. What makes you think that they're able to do it in Missouri, they're not going to do it in Virginia or any place else like that? By all means, don't follow, you know, I mean, you know, look, Fade, if you're listening, don't follow Pierce's example, because Pierce had $400,000 to do something with, and all Pierce did was essentially buy a retirement community and set up a sort of Elohim city for creators and cosmetologists. It didn't last very long after he died, and I gotta wonder. I mean, do you really have the money? I mean, you gotta wonder where does old Fade get the money to try, you know, just go ahead and fly to Austin here? Couldn't everything been done cheaper by simply going ahead and making a telephone call or by email? Why does there need to be anybody there here? Now, for all these people, let's say that there's all this money. We're gonna go ahead and create this stuff here. Look, Fade is sort of flaky. And I don't know. I just, you know, you have no idea. You have no idea where it's real or not. You know what I mean? No idea whether or not it's real or not. I mean, this thing to where we used to laugh our heads off when he was, you know, he traveled 500 miles to screw Kerrigan in North, you know, from Alabama to North Carolina, and 500 miles back, ran the money up on his daddy's Ford Navigator. We were all laughing that, you know, look, Fade, you could have gone ahead and bought some white pussy, you know, from a truck, you know, from a lot lizard in Birmingham here. If it was just a matter of getting your ashes hauled. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm not sure he actually got any. So, I don't know. These people, they show up, and I think Fade is legit, but he's not. He's just, I mean, he's got all this book smart. But he ends up going ahead and being invited out of the spur of the blue on December 18th by Jim Giles. And Jim Giles is covering for Alex Winter, who had gone ahead and testified against Bill White on December 15th. Essentially, he ratted him out. And Jim Giles goes ahead and covers for Alex Winter and Trader Glenn Miller. And he ambushes poor old Fade. And old Fade, what can Fade say? Well, do you believe we ought to go ahead and kill little Jew school children? And Fade says, no. Little Jim Giles had asked me that here. I said, hey, look, these little Jewesses are the spawn of Satan. Kill them all, kill them all, kill them all. So I had gone ahead and asked, look, you know, look, Jim Giles, 3 days ago you were on with Kim Weiss and Mark Patak, and you were saying that you love Jews. What the hell gives? What gives? Essentially, Giles would be real polite and deferential with people whose interviews he wanted. He was not polite at all to old Fade. The reason he wasn't polite to Fade is that he was there to ambush old Fade. And he sure as hell did ambush Fade, all right. And all Fade could do is whine and piss and moan and act like he got butt raped. You know what I mean? Jim Giles, you know, Jim Giles was siding with Trader Glenn Miller and Trader Alex Linder to go ahead and cover for the fact that Trader Alex Linder had gone ahead and testified against Bill White. Now, I have no great love for Bill White, and I think he's a Zogbot, too. Which goes to show, don't be a Zogbot, because Zog has gone hard against these Zogbots. It's gone hard against Hal Turner. Now, supposedly he's supposed to have another trial in April. He didn't have the third trial. So what did they do? Come up with a deal, dismiss the charges. Essentially, Hal Turner, you go ahead and you crawl away. I think that's exactly what happened. Because old Ashkenazi activist was saying that the third trial would be April 12th. Nobody heard a damn thing about it, so I guess there was no April 3rd trial. Essentially, well, we've had two mistrials. Look, we'll stop wasting taxpayers' money and pretend that we're going to go ahead and get a third trial, which will go ahead and be overturned on appeal anyway. Look, Hal Turner, you just go ahead, you wipe off and you run off, and let's not hear anything more about you again because you've been an embarrassment to us. I bet Hal Turner was not tried at all. I don't think there was a third trial. I think he ran off here. I don't know what got me onto that here. But look, if you work for Zog, you betray Zog, you know, look, Trader Glenn Miller, you haven't got off scot-free. Your entire worthless family here, except for your faggot son. You know, I mean, there's not going to be any more little Millers running around, for which I ought to be, you know, for which we ought to be grateful. But, I mean, I got to wonder, why in the world does even a fucktards at VNNF, why do they put up with somebody who goes ahead and abuses them? Why does old Fade put up with some guy, you know, like Quigger's Will, who goes ahead and essentially treats him with contempt, and then go ahead and says that Trader Glenn Miller was one of the great, you know, great activists we ever had? Well, what he had was $250,000 from the order, and the end result was that you be a buddy of Trader Glenn Miller, Trader Glenn Miller is going to rat you out. Even if you ain't a buddy, you had nothing to do with Trader Glenn Miller, Trader Glenn Miller is going to go ahead and rat you out. Richard Butler had nothing to do with Trader Glenn Miller. Louis Beam had nothing to do with Trader Glenn Miller. Here's Trader Glenn Miller. Try and go ahead and send them to prison. And he wants my order rats and all sorts of shit. Come on now. You know what I mean? Someone like Liar Bill DeClues or something like that here hangs around. There's no reason for him to be around. So why is he around? And the answer, he's probably spying on you. If there's no reason for some of these people to be around, don't have them around. You'd be surprised. I'm not surprised. I had five people who stuck by me. I had a bunch of people who didn't. And I cannot even stand to even think of them anymore. Now, most of the things I don't think were actual traitors. But what they were is they were people who talked a good game. And then they weren't there no more. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and it's around 1 o'clock here. It's been about 3 hours. And I don't think Hal Turner is next. anyway, sea monkeys. All these sea monkeys were just what? Were just little shrimp or something like that here. So anyway, they weren't actual sea monkeys. There was no monkeys to it. They were just freshwater. You know, they were just little shrimp or something like that. Little bugs or something. Anyway, I don't know about Harold von Braunhut was the Brooklyn Zoo sea monkeys X-ray glass. Oh, I remember. So I remember as a kid seeing that crap here. Anyway. Well, I imagine old Hal Turner. I didn't hear about this third trial, so I imagine Hal Turner. Essentially, that's exactly what happens. There was no third trial. They decided just simply, okay, well, we'll just go ahead and dismiss the charges. Don't say anything else. And, you know, Hal Turner runs around. He was whining. The worthless bastard was whining about how he was bankrupt here. Well, after admitting to being not only a rat, but an agent provocateur, there's probably not very many people who have much use for Hal Turner. Well, by the way, Sci-Fi Faber was supposedly Hal Turner's big buddy. And I don't know. I mean, you know, there's another character here who I would have nothing to do with. But I didn't go ahead and have a problem with Sci-Fi because of Hal Turner. In fact, I sort of was quiet for Hal Turner about him doing. I mean, you know, Sci-Fi is just a little wannabe control freak. And it wasn't just me that got annoyed at him here. There was this kid from Texas, and there was these people from Tennessee who, what's with Faber? You know, so there was nothing. Faber is old Hal Turner's buddy, but Faber wants to go ahead and tell you how to run your church in Tennessee or Texas or, you know, well, in Missouri. Nobody wants to put up that crap here, you know. Yeah, I don't, you know, there's probably about 30, 40, you know, one seed liners running around in Newton County, Donald County. And I don't tell them how to run their stuff here, and they don't tell me how to run my church. You know, I mean, they're nice enough people. You know, they don't really want to go ahead and be seen with me because, shoot, they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want their kids taken away. They don't want to get in trouble. You know, and they're really a bunch of one-seed-liners and sacred namers and a bunch of that, you know, silly crap. And, you know, my dad, he went ahead and he listened to a 2-hour sermon. When you call me, then call me Yahweh here. The guy asked, well, what was the sermon? He said, well, it was interesting horse shit, but that's, you know, I mean, you can call horse shit what it is, but, you know, in the end result, all it is horse shit. The guy at least had the grace to sort of laugh at that here. Daddy never went back here. They're nice enough people, though. We hauled hay with them. They're nice people. They're dairy farmers. And they were nice people. I seen them about 6-8 months ago at this Chinese restaurant. And then we went ahead, and they had two girls and I think a boy, and you know, you just know their family mounted something here, and you know, they're real good people. And, well, they were into the sacred name, you know, Yahweh, 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 and they were nice enough people, but. You know, I mean, they had a little church. You know, they had somebody who they were related to, and they're nice people too. But hey, I mean, there's just you know, other than hay hauling, you know, they were sort of one seed line. I mean, we really didn't have a lot in common here. So, you know, anyway, they're nice people, but generally leave them. Right here. Oh, yeah. By the way, I still don't got Pastor Winston up just yet, and I'll probably work there here. I don't know. Old Trip, what used to be, I used to be around with Old Trip. He'd go ahead and listen to back in the day when I used to run, well, I still run Patrick Henry Online, but Old Trip was a nice little person here. You know, Tripp went ahead and spent a bunch of money. I sort of think the old Tripp's an honest person here. But Hal Turner certainly isn't. So if you don't have reason to be around these people, don't be around them. You know what I mean? Don't be around people you have no business being around. And, you know, Delaney and the rest of them here, that's what Bill's getting a lot of trouble for, is for people like Delaney that hangs around him here. Now, I don't tell Bill what to do. If he wants to hang around Delaney, that's his business. You know, but I have nothing good to say about Delaney. There's people who said, well, you gave Delaney a hard time. No, I had no idea what Delaney was about, but I just went ahead and reprinted the Kurt Maynard blog, and I'm pretty sure this old Delaney went ahead and dropped a nickel on me at the Hostmaster. He got PastorLinstead.org booted off of Hostmaster. So I'm pratty sure it's Delaney went ahead and ratted me out. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, was Kurt assassinated? No, I think old Kurt goes ahead and he's gone ahead and shot his Beaner wife dead. Thought he killed the Beaner boyfriend and shot the Beaner boyfriend's daughter and now his own two kids. And, here he is being chased by the pigs. And we're going to go ahead and take out a pig or two or try to. He decides just go ahead and kill himself. But then again, maybe not. Maybe the pigs went ahead and killed him and, tied up loose ends by saying that he shot himself. I mean, they're the ones in control of the, quote, crime scene. So you have no idea what happened. So, I wouldn't believe whatever was said. Going to Princeton this year? No, probably not. I mean, Pete Peters, I went to go ahead and be baptized in 2002 because Clint and the rest would be giving a hard time here. And I said I was dual seed line, and old Pete Peters looked at me like I was a snake. He took 6 weeks. His second wife was pretty nice and polite, but old Pete, it's like this, if you got a Pete Peters thing here, it's Pete Peters' way or the highway, which is, I suppose, the way it should be, I really, Pete Peters has his pet Jew named Weissman, and Weissman is dual seed line. He had nothing good to say about dual seed line. I met him in 1999 over at Springfield at Everett Cap, Everett Ramsey's thing here. It's far more Baptist hobbyist than it was even one seed liner. I went ahead and bought the EIT course from Mike Callimore, and I met a few Deep Woods Christianity people. But met, Pete Peters, pet Jew. Weissman, he does not like dual seed line, near does Pete Peters. So if you show up there, you're on, essentially you're promising Pete Peters you're going to behave. If you go ahead and promise to behave, you're going to have to behave, unless you're a liar, and I'm not a liar, so I behave. But there were a few people in Mississippi didn't like Pete Peters' pet nigger of the month either, and I went ahead and told them about dual seed line. But I don't fight with Pete Peters. And the reason I don't fight with Pete Peters is that in some ways Pete Peters is sort of a nursery for some dual seed liners. The best of his lot will get tired of Pete Peters, and they'll migrate to dual seed line. So no need to go ahead and poison that particular well. So I don't fight with Pete Peters. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go all the way to Branson, and they had this communion here, and it struck me as being popish. So I really don't think I'm going to go to Branson, even though it's just, 70 miles east of here. It's not that good of roads. So, I don't know. It's over the Memorial Day. It should be at the end of the month. So, with my long hair and my half a beard, I don't know if old Pete even let me in the place here. So, I don't think I'm going to go. old Bamser the Mamser is probably going to have a conniption fit at Pete Peters. I think old Bamser the Mamser is a little pig. He's just a little pig. He lives around in Branson. I thought he lived in Republic. But, he strikes me as a little wigger pig who, I have no doubt goes ahead and writes some little whiny letter to the editor of Springfield or the Branson paper whining about, a hate minister like Pete Peters. Pete Peters, I mean, he doesn't skin his flock. He does shear them pretty much. And I had to laugh way back. He came up with this 91-day doors crap here nobody ever heard of. And about the only thing I could think of for the reason was for that was to create another holy day so Pete Peters would get another offering. You know what I mean? So the other thing is that Pete Peters will sell overpriced books. You can buy for $5 or $10 cheaper, you know, either online or something like that. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to Branson this year. Anyway, if they want to go ahead, I mean, my stuff is for free. I don't charge anything. I got enough money, and this talk show is free, so I'm not going to go ahead and mess with it here. So, and everything makes people think here. Anyway, Jim Giles went ahead and, this guy who was yakking, Kurt Mayer, he didn't much care for dual seat. He was talking, I was trying to be nice to him. He went ahead and sort of shit, set this Eastern European Mamzer. He sort of shit on me and Bill Fink here. So, I don't know. I sort of feel a little bit sorry for Maynard. But then again, Maynard got what he sowed. I mean, Maynard'd be alive if he wouldn't been screwing some beaner. You know what I mean? Maynard went ahead and sinned, and the wages of sin are death, so Maynard got what he reaped. So I don't feel sorry for Maynard too much at all. He had a lot more to, I'm still gloating about that faggot Richard Barrett going ahead and being killed by a gay nigger. But, Well, I remember when I was a kid, 1967, we seen this place that had a little penny arcade, and it was fun for us kids. And this guy said, "Hey, Branson's going to be the next Las Vegas or something like that." He told my dad that. My dad didn't believe it. This hillbilly place is going to be the next Las Vegas. Well, that guy was right. I bet he made a killing building it up. But now all it is just an overpriced place here. I used to go ahead and take my kid, grandkids to Silver Dollar City. I liked it because they ended up having all these old, I liked seeing some of these, people from the rest of the world. They went ahead and moved back from Macedonia or Peru or something like that. I like seeing some of this, music here. I especially like the Australian people. They were pretty good. But what I especially like was the craft stuff here from all these people who knew how to go ahead and make baskets out of white oak and, the ones who knew how to go ahead and, make steam cars or something like that. The ones who knew how to go ahead and, essentially make rifles and knives and all stuff. And I did like Silver Dollar City. But as far as going ahead and seeing, my mother, she just had to see Lawrence Welk. Lawrence Welk had been dead. And here it was here showing him from, why did he ever leave his home from North Dakota? And if Lawrence Welk was alive, it'd been his 110th birthday. So seeing some old geezer who I didn't much care for, and you're seeing these people, most of them are dead when you see it on PBS, reruns of the Lawrence Welk Show. And my mother, I went ahead and taped up a bunch of them on VHS here for my mother to look at because she liked it here. But I've never much cared for Branson. But then again, you go there and they would have some really good deals here. And the stay was pretty cheap, especially if you go ahead and not go during the summer. You go during the late fall or something like that. And it was a nice place to go ahead and take the kids here. we go ahead and do this condominium things here. Essentially, we go ahead and get, 3 days, 2 nights, have to listen to this bill for a condominium for $50. And, well, essentially what happens is that we go ahead and I'll bring the oldest two, and we go ahead and swim in the swimming pools. We go ahead and swim, and then we go ahead and eat out. And, you know, the grandkids loved it. Roxy loved it because we got her out of the house here. And then, okay, well, here, free show to look at some idiot. You know, Roxy liked Boxcar Willie. I didn't much care for it. So, anyway. Well, yeah, I mean, you're Richard Barnett here. I mean, you know, if you've been in jail or a prison or anything like that, you know, nigger faggots here, they advertise. They advertise because essentially them nigger faggots, they like going ahead and doing nigger faggot shit. And they'll also go ahead, I mean, someone like me, I mean, I never hid the fact of the Klansmen and Aryan Nations, and essentially, they're telling you that, and what it boils down to is that they don't want nothing to do with you, which is fine. I don't want anything to do with nigger faggots here. But you can just tell that nigger who went ahead and killed Barrett, he was a nigger faggot. And I don't know, I guess, you know, Barrett went ahead and ran out of skinhead wiggers to screw. So here he is screwing this nigger. He was a dirty New Jersey lawyer. Who moved in there, I'm pretty sure he's a Zogbot or an Agent Provocateur playing this here little game. Well, anyway, I used to be nice to him, and then he whined about me being anti-homosexual. So I just went ahead and said, hey, look, everybody says he's a faggot, and I think he's a faggot. Then while I was in the nut house, he went ahead and called me a pedophile and a nutcase. And as I got out, I went ahead and changed it and gave old Richard Barrett both freaking barrels here. And, no, there's nothing good about Richard Barrett. He was just a lawyer, you know, no good New Jersey lawyer who I think was a Zogbot and a faggot, and I'm glad he got killed by that faggot nigger. I had no use for that bastard at all. None. That's about the only thing I'd agree with Jim Giles on. There was nothing good about Richard Barrett. Nothing at all. So, anyway, but no, he died of cancer. What happens is Roxy, she had a friend, and they like Boxcar Willie, and they get tickets here, and we go to the condo for some tickets here. You get a free show, and she wanted to see freaking Boxcar Willie. Me? Yeah. Well, what happens is what I like doing is that all these, we go ahead and take a place with a pool. And Helen and Bub loved, especially Helen. You know, I mean, when I went to see Pete Peters, we didn't get a, you know, we couldn't go ahead because Pete Peters went ahead and took most a lot of the motel rooms, and so we couldn't get one with a pool here. So, you know, I mean, all Helen could do was swim in the bathtub. You know what I mean? But we used a bunch of water that, you know, then. But no, I mean, she liked. Yeah, I mean, he was actually first an Air Force bombardier or something like that here. And then, you know, he got on, he knew how to play. He'd go ahead and do this hobo shtick here from K-Tel Records. I remember when it first came out, and the old geezer, you know, got cancer and he got real thin. Listen to my last show. Well, what happens is a year later, he goes ahead and reopens it, and he says, well, I knew it. I said this was my last show, but what happens is this chemotherapy costs a lot of money. That's what he did, is he went ahead and did it, and then he croaked, and, you know, he died, and they went ahead and sold their, he went ahead and sold his music theater and his museum. He has Air Force Museum next door to his Boxcar Willie Palace, and he sold it to the Daltons or somebody. You know what I mean? And then you had somebody named Jim Stafford who sang something or another. I forget what it is. See, Branson is the home of the has-beens. And in some cases, like I think Boxcar Willie and never was is here. And, I mean, he had an okay show. I mean, it was with hobos and railroad trains and, you know, I wasn't that impressed by it. But Roxy liked it. Her friend liked it. The grandkids, yeah, they weren't that crazy about it. They liked swimming in the swimming pool more than anything else here. You know what I mean? Going to Silver Dollar City and swimming in the swim pool and eating at Long John Silver's and McDonald's and eating at a real nice restaurant a few times and whatever here. I mean, Branson's about as cheap a place to go for a vacation as anything here, especially if you make sure you don't go during the summer. And you don't want to really go, you don't really want to go there around 7:30 or so when everything is just crowded. But, hey, you know, if you have grandkids or something like that, Branson's about as nice a place to go. You know, and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money. It's about as cheap a place to have a vacation, you know, as any here. And pretty well the grandkids, they just love swimming, you know, we just love swimming in the swimming pool. You know what I mean? So, anyway, especially during the summer. Anyway, it was okay. K-Town Records here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happens, you can go ahead and see some of these religious goomers here. Some of these not whites here. What they do is they have a free music, come to Jesus thing here. And if you want to go ahead and see them singing gospel music here for free, you can. You know, me, I usually liked, well, I mean, we were swimming, you know, me and grandkids were swimming until about, 10 or 11 here, you know, until they closed the pool here. And then we were, Roxy would go up and get continental breakfast and bring the grandkids or something like that. And I just usually just sleeping in bed here. And occasionally she'd say, well, I want to go ahead and see some of these people for free. And you go ahead and look at their religious stuff, you know, your religious music here. You know, to be honest with you, I really didn't much care for it. I mean, I went down there to go ahead and essentially swim in the swim pool, go to Silver Dollar City, you know, with the grandkids, and then see the same thing here. And then, you know, they do their, I didn't much care for their little, they love the, all these little roller coaster stuff here. I was too crazy about it, but, you know, I mean, you know, you go ahead with your family, you go ahead and do all the stuff that they like to do, and then they put up with some of the stuff that you like to do, like watch these people demonstrate how to make knives and stuff like that. And, you know, you go down there with family and everybody gets something, you know what I mean? So, Branson is an okay place. But I didn't much care. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't like going to crowds, and I don't like being with a bunch of wiggers, and I don't like being with a bunch of, you know, I just don't like going with, you know, a crowd with a bunch of people I don't know anything about, don't really much care to learn anything about either. So, Roxy liked Boxcar Willie, so I went there twice. And it was okay. I mean, it was okay. I mean, you get some good deals. Like you got, you know, for some reason you have his songs, his famous songs for $1. He sold you a book of the sheet music here. So you got pretty cheap. And if you don't want to sing it the way he sang it, well, you can go ahead and sing it your own way, I guess. But Branson was fun, you know, when we had grandkids here. We don't have our grandkids, and I miss them so much here. But, it's a fun place. It's a fun place. It didn't really cost much. It's family entertainment. And essentially, the people of Branson, they make sure that they keep it family entertainment. It's not like Las Vegas. You're not going to see any strippers or showgirls or anything like that. No gambling, no nothing. And the people of Branson, they want that away. So, it's about as nice a place, you know, to go. And that's why Pete Peters shows up, because there's plenty of motel space, and, you know, they'll put up with Pete Peters. You know, Pete Peters doesn't even pretend to be Chris Zanetti anymore. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, Yeah, anyway, That is, you can't go ahead and do it. That's why you have a lot of chlorine here. You know what I mean? But, well, I didn't funnel too much cash to old Bugsy Siegel. I don't think old Boxcar really had too much to do with Bugsy Siegel anyway. But, they were talking about doing that, and everybody was up in arms. There are no casinos in Branson. Somebody actually talked about it. They actually talked about it, and there was not going, you know, no. This is a family place here. And essentially what you end up having, you end up having all the has-beens who want to go ahead, and they don't want to go on tour no more, and they'll just go ahead and perform the same stuff they used to perform, usually about 10 or 15 years previously, and some of it 20 years previously or 30 years previously. And if you want to go ahead and see a bunch of old, tired, used-to-bes, in some case, like, you know, Boxcar Willie never was, you can do that, and you can do it cheaply. I mean, $50 for 3 days, 2 nights. Well, really, Friday, Saturday, you know, leave Sunday, you know, 2 nights, 2 days. You know, I mean, that's about, you know, $50 for 2 nights, 2 days. That's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad deal. You know what I mean? You know, and you can eat at Kentucky Fried, or you can eat at Wendy's or something like that. I mean, you can, you know, I mean, essentially, go there, go Silver Dollar Theater, the season passes. You know, they'll go ahead and throw in a show, and then you go ahead and look at whatever the old lady wants to look at, because you don't really give a crap. And essentially, you go ahead and go Silver Dollar City with the grandkids. You go ahead and swim in the swimming pools. You want a place with a swimming pool. And you just have fun with, you know, I mean, we used to do that all the time, you know, about once a month. So, yeah, we spend lots and lots and lots of fun doing that. So, anyway, I really miss my grandkids. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, what happens is that the Engine Casinos, that's over in Oklahoma. Casino Indians over at Seneca and, a number of these other places here, Wyandotte and, you know, it's all over Oklahoma. You know, I live in southwest Missouri. So I can see both those roads. You know, I mean, I could go to Border Town or something like that. They used to give you free play. And I've never lost any money. But I don't know, they don't do that much anymore. They're one of these places. Well, Branson don't have any, you know, Branson has riverboats, but essentially what it is you go on the riverboat, they have a little music show, and then they go ahead and the riverboat's a little more expensive. It costs $50 here, and essentially you end up having one hell of a buffet on it. But, you know, you go ahead and go on the riverboat, you go ahead and see the lake, Table Rock Lake, and they do it on the riverboat, and you know, essentially, all it is just a dinner, you know, a dinner, pretty well a dinner, and a whole bunch of, some people you never heard of before, and they probably sing, and they'd sing and dance here or something like that, play the banjo and the guitar, you know, pretend that they're, you know, that they're in the 1850s or whatever riverboat here, even though just going on, you know, the lake. And, you know, I mean, that's a little bit much. $50 for just some dancing and some, you know, for a whole awful lot. I mean, I never did get into that here. But occasionally you can go ahead and get it for half price or something. And it's not that bad deal. But, you know, there's no gambling. There's no gambling in Branson. They're not going to allow that at all. If you want to do the gambling, you go over to Oklahoma where the Casino Indians are. Okay? Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and say goodnight, and you know, Well, it's been a while here, so it's been 3.5 hours here. Well, they're nice, but I don't know. You'd have more fun. You could have just as much fun here on a rowboat or something like that. Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and say call it quits and say hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.